This is absolute cinema.
What the hell is that?
Are you not entertained?
From the front lines of the information war, Alex Jones is back. Bigger. Stronger. Louder. Go to alexjoneslive.com right now and share the links.
This is awesome.
I think I just pissed myself.
We've only just begun to fight.
To private banks for bills that should be free of interest to you. I mean monetary control. I mean cameras on the corner. I mean thumb scans at the post office and at the driver's license, which they're doing now. I mean the banks. I mean all this. Controlling your life. I mean bigger and bigger police forces with more and more totalitarian policies.
Go inside now!
Get in the house!
So understand, folks, this is why you never hear about this in the mainstream press, because they're owned and controlled by these mass bank conglomerates that want nothing less than total slavery.
Now they love it. They can abuse and beat up everybody, and nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. They're having their way with America. They want our guns. And if you're not with them, cops and military, then you will declare that you're with the Republic now. And don't tell me that I'm a weirdo because I'm upset about this and I should only go get upset about my favorite football team winning or losing. Listen, I know what tyranny means. I know the bankers are putting poison in our food and water. I know the bankers have stolen $8.5 trillion. I know we're under War Powers Act. I know they're hurting us. I know they're carrying out New World Order. I know they staged those terror attacks. You know what it's like to gut up to this and go out every day and go past the peer pressure and come out day one and say 9/11 was an inside job and lose most of the radio stations I was on? You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day? You know what it's like knowing you've ruined my life? You know what it's like, you sons of bitches? I'm tired of your crap. You commit evil, you're part of an evil system, and we're standing up against you. And the Republic is going to defeat you in the end. Some of us won't make it personally through this, but a lot of us are. And in the end, you are going to be brought to justice for all the kids you kidnapped for CPS, all you CPS workers, all you corrupt bureaucrats, all of you that have had your way with innocent children over and over again and who think your evil's invincible. You're not invincible, and God is going to deal with you. And you are cursed to hell.
We spotlighted the World Economic Forum. We spotlighted Bill Gates. We hit the barbed wire first. We were the shock troops, my guests, my crew, this audience of activists. And I won't sell out that legacy of integrity for anybody. You can put a gun to my head, and I won't go against what's right. I won't move one centimeter from what I believe to be the absolute truth. ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you this 24th of August, 2026. Hope everybody's Monday is going well. We, of course, have so much to talk about. It really is absurd, mostly in, you know, a couple different, you know, regions. And yes, we'll cover everything mentioned here, including the absurdity that we're still trying to determine what a woman is 10 years on since the question was first asked, having to do with the WNBA. But possibly more important than that, the world war that's clearly breaking out and being charged towards with everything that Israel's got, including basically setting the groundwork for total war against Turkey. This time the clash bubbling up in Syria. And we'll try to figure out where all of this is going. But of course, the other half of this story is the failure of the Republicans to do literally anything for anybody that voted for them. And almost in seemingly a deliberate fashion, destroying the coalition that swept Trump into office by doing pretty much everything wrong the entire time. So these things are obviously very closely related, not at all separate topics. They're practically the same topic, actually. What's a great way to ensure that your once-in-a-lifetime last-minute rescue of the United States goes down in flames? Go to war overseas for Israel. See, it's a great way to do that. Very convenient way to destroy everything is just make the dumbest mistake of all time. And I really, if nothing else, this really is an opportunity. This really is an opportunity to smash the old political paradigm that we thought Trump, like we thought that was Trump's whole thing. We thought that that's what he was about. Obviously not. Obviously that didn't work. Exactly. So what comes next? That really needs to be the question on everybody's mind. And it seems to be the question everybody is asking, everybody I'm talking to. It's sort of a foregone conclusion. Like the second Trump administration has been a failure. They're not going to get any better. They're almost certainly going to lose the midterms and become a lame duck president. At which point, maybe the Democrats will be able to put a brake on some of the more destructive policies of Trump. And as crazy as that is, what is Trump doing that, you know, we desperately need him to continue doing? I don't see the mass deportations the level that they should be. And, you know, I don't want to just reiterate the same thing over and over, relitigate the same claims over and over. But you've got clips like this, clip number 6. Where Donald Trump is asked about his plans for a housing bill, because obviously one of the biggest issues in the country right now is the inability for anybody to save up and purchase a house. And again, it's not that this is just our economic system sort of not working as well. It's not like, well, we've had a couple bad years of crops, so the income is a little bit lower, can't do what we want. We are literally in the middle of a deliberate reorganization of human society comprehensive. The Great Reset never stopped and never ended, right? They never said, well, we tried the Great Reset, but actually we're going to undo the Great Reset, get back to how we were. No, the Great Reset roils on. The Great Reset continues to destroy the, like, fundamental reality of our life. And so when you're talking about people's inability to buy houses, understand that that's because they don't want to buying houses anymore. See, houses are becoming prohibitively expensive because they want the only people that own them to be multinational conglomerates. It makes everything a lot easier that way. Don't you understand how much more efficient it would be? I mean, it's complicated now. Somebody's got to buy a house. You got to get a mortgage for them. Then they're going to be the ones who are responsible for the upkeep of the house, meaning that they're going to have to go out and start giving business to all these small businesses around them. You got to hire an HVAC guy. You got to hire someone to do your lawn. You've got to hire the pest control guy. And all of that is done independently in a free market of local labor. So, you know, you can't exactly outsource that very easily. What you can do instead is buy an entire neighborhood, lease out the houses, and that way the multinational conglomerate can simply contract out all of the business for the entire neighborhood. So now you as a homeowner, I mean, isn't that lovely? You don't have to worry about the HVAC. You don't have to worry about repairs. You'll be like, you're a renter. You don't actually own the thing. So instead of having to go and find a small business in your local area to give your business to them, you simply call up the robot that your landlord provides you, and they get in contact with the multinational private equity owned, you know, rebranded a plumber's guild that they, you know, contract out with. It just isn't that a lot more simple? Isn't that so much easier instead of people owning homes and making their own decisions, that everything is managed by a giant corporatocracy? Isn't that so much more convenient for all of us? Well, no, obviously not. But what it is ripping away sort of a fundamental aspect of being a human being, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was originally written life, liberty, and property, since property is sort of a core aspect of freedom, the ability to own things, the ability to have something that is yours that you have full rights of rulership over without any help. That's inconvenient to the people that would rather you basically exist in their giant worldwide company store so they can control your income and how much you spend. And it'll be great. Won't that be great? It'll be like the whole society will be running like a Mario Kart race. You know, Mario, if you ever played Mario Kart, you know, it's a sort of socialist, right? It's like if you're faster, then it slows you down and everybody else gets to go faster. So that's sort of what it'll be like, where you can make more money. Yeah, like you can have a lot more money than other people, but every store will change its prices to be based on what you're making. So you'll actually be spending more money constantly than everybody else. So that more money you're making will actually just, you know, translate into more money that you're spending to always keep you limited. So you can't actually save up money, make a big purchase, use, you know, spend money on a down payment, but then actually own it outright and then use that as collateral to build something else. The whole building things and passing things on to your children, you know, the whole core aspect of what life is all about and the reason for living and building a family, they want all that to go away. They want that dissolved. They want basically people being individuals, not even getting married, let alone having a family, never owning anything. And then you can just sort of liquidate them, zero out their account at the end of their life. And then when you're born, you'll zero that account out at the beginning. So you won't inherit anything. You won't be able to be anything passed on to you. All of that will have been squeezed out of your parents. You know, this is my point is, when you look at things like house prices being high, yes, there are a lot of economic realities that go into that, including the proliferation of illegal immigrants that are buying up houses and driving the prices up. I mean, all this stuff goes into it, obviously. But at the end of the day, it's on purpose. At the end of the day, all of this is on purpose, and that it's not a misfunction of the market that's causing house prices to be unachievable to, you know, young people. It's a function of the Great Reset that they're inflicting on the Western world without our approval. So let's go to clip six here from Patriotic Blonde on X. Here's Donald Trump being asked what his plans are about how to help people struggling to buy houses in America these days. Let's watch.
Your plans for the housing bill, Mr. President? Are you?
I don't know. I think it's so unimportant. Here's what I would like to say. It's a yawn. Just about everything is a big yawn.
Yeah. It's boring. Frankly, it's kind of boring. I mean, if you're going to come and talk to me about how life itself is impossible in a system utterly dislocated from basic human needs, it's kind of boring. Can you spice it up a little bit? Can you spice it up just a little bit? Because Trump's bored. He's very bored with all this talk of we're all suffering, please, for the love of God. We didn't do anything wrong. Why are we being punished? That's all very boring, okay? It's not exciting. Where's the juice here? I said juice. Let's go to clip 7 here. Do you know that it actually happened? I didn't pull in the video because I didn't think, you know, I'd be making this metaphor so early in the show. A Brazilian man climbed into a lion den at the zoo in Brazil. Any guesses what happened? Any speculation? This isn't for Democrats or even the neocon Republicans because they seem incapable of cause and effect. Any ideas what may have happened to the Brazilian man who climbed into the lion enclosure in Brazil? If you said that he was eaten by a lion, you'd be correct because some things are obvious. Some consequences are inevitable. When certain actions are taken, certain other things happen. And that's just the way it is. So when the president of the United States, who got elected on the basis of bringing back affordability and representing the forgotten middle class, regular American people, when he routinely and over and over and over and over and over and over again reminds us that not only is he not doing anything to help the struggling economic situation of the average American, but is actively disdainful and bored by the complaints, what do you think's going to happen? The Democrats are going to win. Nobody's going to support him. And that's inevitable. Just like climbing into a lion's cage, you're going to be eaten by a lion. So I don't know what I need to do to impart this level of intelligence and wisdom that I have somehow obtained onto the political class, but it's not that complicated, folks. If you show hatred and disdain, or at the very least, total disinterest in the people you're supposed to serve, they're not going to vote for you. If you climb into a lion's den, the lion's going to eat you. I don't understand how this is so complicated. Cause and effect should not be this hard to get across. Let's go to clip 7 here, where Donald Trump, who we just heard call the idea of a housing bill just boring, so it's not interesting him. Cause, or rather effect. Now let's see the cause, shall we? Wait. No, it's the other way around. Now I'm the one messing it up. That was the cause. Here's the effect. I got it right. Here's the effect. Clip 7.
Did years ago, they're going to flee our country. I'm going to be impeached. They're going to impeach me. They have no idea why. I saw it today. A congressman said on one of the shows, we're going to impeach President Trump. We're going to impeach. Oh, really? Why? The person was asking. A neutral commentator for a change. I like neutral commentators. Oh, I see. You're going to impeach him. Why? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess all of the crimes that you're committing, I think that would be it. If I was going to guess, I don't know. I don't know what they're planning. I mean, one thing we know about the Democrats, they don't actually need anything. Like, they don't need a crime. They don't need actually to have something to charge you with. Last time they came up with a so-called whistleblower to claim that you made statements on a phone call with the Ukrainian president that you never actually made. I mean, they almost got that one through. That almost worked. So now they have like a year's worth of insider trading and like very openly like selling pardons. That's kind of a big one, I think. The whole like you can have access to my Truth Social so you can know what stock trades to make. That seems a little bit touchy, a little bit in the margin, a little bit in the gray area between illegal and legal. I'm sure they can come up with something. It's not like you haven't given them everything they could ever possibly need. to charge you and your family and everybody around you. But I think he made a deal. I don't think he's actually that concerned about it. It'll just be everybody around him and probably us that pay the price for it, but not him. He'll be protected. From Wall Street Journal, Democrats are gearing up for a wave of investigations into Trump and his allies. Because even though we have the Senate and the Congress and the Supreme Court and the presidency, it's the Democrats who are still more motivated than congressional Republicans to do anything for their constituents or to act in an aggressive way against our enemies. The Democrats in the minority are still doing more than the Republicans in terms of investigations. Democrats are readying multi-front investigations into the Trump administration should they win the House majority in November, and the White House is gearing up for an onslaught of subpoenas, but there are early divisions within the party over where to focus their investigative firepower and whether to impeach the president for a third time. They might not even impeach him. They might be so confident in their ability to just, like, charge him with crimes after he's president, they might just let him be president and just spend that whole time from here until 28 just, like, racking up charges that they'll hit him with once he's gone. Because he's not actually hurting them. Like, Trump being in office is not actually a bad thing for Democrats. They're doing incredibly well in every possible way, right? On the ground, the extremist, activist elements are becoming more empowered, more well-funded, more well-organized, acting with total impunity despite being, you know, very closely related, closely involved with, like, straight-up terrorist attacks against Tesla dealerships or ICE facilities. They're acting with total impunity and succeeding wildly. So, like, if you're a Democrat, you know, you might emotionally want to, just for the satisfaction, impeach Trump again because it feels good, and why not? There's no downside. And I understand that. But thinking about it sort of more strategically, if I was a Democrat, I'd kind of be like, let Trump stay in office. All this does is empower the Democrats. They're not actually helping the Republicans. It's not like at the end of a Republican presidency, the Republicans are ascendant and all of the money that we took from USAID has instead been funneled into, you know, culture building projects here in America to prop up and actually provide the, like, intellectual underpinning that conservatism needs to succeed, the civic virtues and passing those on to the next generation. Like, they haven't done any of that stuff. The Republicans don't actually build up their coalition or make use of the power when the voters give it to them. So the Democrats aren't actually, they're not incentivized in any way to not want a Trump presidency. Like, they're probably fine with it. Why wouldn't they be? Again, as long as Trump just continues in the path that he's in, then as the Democrats see it, they go, well, look, we wait until 28. The whole time Trump is insider trading and selling pardons and doing all this other stuff that we'll obviously charge him for. He may try to do this whole preemptive pardon thing like Biden did with Fauci, but they're not going to honor that. Why would they? Because the Republicans did? No, that's not how things work. So, you know, they'll probably just rack up the charges as they, you know, sit by and, again, just build their power and wait for the great overthrowing of American society in 2028 that we all know is coming. So, you know, that division where it's like, well, we don't know whether, I mean, it's, again, it's got to be great to be a Democrat. Like, this is just the dichotomy that we're dealing with. This is the, these are the two sides. It's like Republicans just, they just won't do it. They just won't do anything. I mean, the idea that we are going to get charges for anything that we've been through for the past 10 years. Because these are all, it all sort of compounds, right? We still haven't gotten justice for what just the obvious democracy destroying, republic eradicating lies of Russiagate with the intelligence community spying on their political opponent. I mean, just mind-blowing levels of treason and corruption. Totally unpunished. At this point, nobody even talks about it anymore. Fauci, are we still holding our breath for anything being done to that little gremlin? He wasn't even the one that made the decisions anyway. We can't even get the spokesperson who's, in his own words, describing the way in which they're lying to the American people and hiding their, trying to hide their emails from FISA or any sort of FOIA request. We can't even get him. So, God forbid, like, we're never going to get Deborah Birx or, you know, anybody else involved at the higher level. So that's basically out of it. And in a way, I was thinking back to just the history of the second Trump administration, and we really should have seen this coming. And we did a little bit I mean, I did, certainly. And before Trump's second administration, my whole thing was going, how long are we giving him until we start to get worried? Because things have to happen fast. And they seem to happen fast a little bit in the beginning. But then, immediately, you had this massive wave of protesters burning Tesla dealerships, like committing literal terrorism, where they're like, we are doing violence for a political purpose. We're going to do economic harm to a ally of the president. And at that point, we should have all realized the Trump administration was not serious about literally anything, because that is just, that was a layup. That was a underhand coach pitch, softball pitch that we could have knocked out of the park. I mean, you literally had people on camera destroying Teslas. That's a crime. That's a gigantic crime that you could charge them with, but they didn't. So at that point, in the very first few months of Trump's second administration, we really should have realized if they can't deal with the Tesla dealerships being burnt by people with no masks, just like out there. And I remember the time they'd arrest somebody and they'd charge him with like whatever, you know, like littering, you know, they'd charge him with some just little slap on the wrist thing. Nobody went to jail. Nobody was even fined a particularly large amount of money. When you had hundreds of examples all across the country of burning Tesla dealerships or scratching, you know, cars, every single one of them should have been charged with some form of domestic terror. That's, again, literally what it was, to terrify people into not buying Teslas, to cause economic pain to Tesla, to cause Elon Musk to second guess his action with the Trump campaign or the Trump administration at that point, to get rid of Doge, to protect all of their funding through USAID and all their other corrupt networks. So obviously just violence on behalf of a political movement never got dealt with. Nobody got arrested. And from that point on, we should have realized like this, it's not happening. With all the bluster and all of the will of the people, the mandate delivered, they didn't want to. They didn't want to do anything about it. They didn't want to actually protect their supporters and give them what they want. And at that point, we really should have realized it was never going to mount to anything. This whole second Trump administration was never going to be the crack of the whip that was needed, because they literally let a whole bunch of leftist morons openly Molotov cocktail Tesla dealerships and basically treated it like a minor nuisance, like any other, you know, peaceful protest. So, you know, when the narrative is that Trump turned, he certainly got worse, but I don't think he was ever really serious about any of this. Not to the degree that you would need to be to actually deal with this stuff. And we'll get to what that looks like in just a minute, because it is possible. It's not even possible. It'd actually be very easy. But yeah, I don't think, I guess long story short, it's just like, what's after Trump? That's the only really thing we need to worry about right now. That's the only thing we need to concern ourselves with. And really, we need to, as a collective, decide how can we work together to bring this about? How can we possibly bring the very, because even, I mean, you want to talk about the MAGA divide? I think that might be giving people a false sense of simplicity when it comes to this, because there's not a MAGA divide. There's about 14 MAGA divides. There's the Trump neocon co-opted establishment MAGA, which, that's like the traditional mats, the cat turds out there. But the pro-America first, anti-MAGA side is not one side. It's the Tucker Carlson faction. It's the Candace Owens faction. It's the Nick Fuentes faction. How do we bring those together? And can we win by appealing to the left? I mean, these are the types of things we need to talk about, because the Trump mission has been failed.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. And I'm so blown away by this. This is the most exciting thing, quote, supplement wise I've ever done in decades in my career, in my research. Okay, now decades ago we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctor's medical doctor at clinics all over the state said you need to get on methylene blue, told me how to buy it online, said be sure and get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at the alexjonesstore.com, for about a week. And I already have mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, you know, mine. It was just another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before. I figure, oh, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure, we'll see if it's as good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I'll be honest, start itching, and I go take my shirt off and look at the mirror because I'm itching, and my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan. Anyways, even if I'm not getting sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. I'm like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, ah. And I'm like, okay. And then I swear to God, I'm just saying, I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting there this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go into why it's so amazing. And later in the broadcast, I'll cover the big news. I'm gonna go over it, but it is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're gonna have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. You know, it's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. This is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. We got the best methylene blue, hands down. I was already told it was the top firm, supplies the medical centers. Where it's not prescription, but doctors everywhere have been telling people to get on it for years. And there was so many attacks and systems on it. I just we're a big target on it. But as soon as HHS came out, had endorsed it and all this stuff, and it's everywhere now, I'm like, okay, get us the best. And we got it. And boy, I tell you, if we can get enough of it, it's going to solve our issues. Funding, we'll be able to expand. A third of what we got just sold out in the last hour. So I had a feeling about this because I told you what it did, and that's all true. So I've taken other methylene blue and it had a good effect. This other stuff that says it's USP, that means pharmaceutical grade, must not be. This is unbelievable. Get your Ultra Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com while you can.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room. Again, if you want a good example of, I don't know, it's kind of hard. I got a hard job here because. What I don't want to do is just be blackpilling the whole time, but I do have to read the news. So you have things like this. Washington Post ordered to rehire columnist fired for comments about Charlie Kirk murder. So the Washington Post has now been ordered to rehire an opinion columnist who was fired for comments made in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's murder last September. In other words, she justified Charlie Kirk's murder by claiming that he often espoused violent rhetoric and to paraphrase, got what he deserved. I saw, I think it was Oilfield Rando on X say, in America, you can fire people because you're replacing them with H-1B imports. That's perfectly legal, apparently. But firing somebody because they celebrated a political assassination, that's illegal. You can't do that. She's black, don't you know? Don't you know she's black? She's allowed to call for violence. The law doesn't apply to her, okay? Sarah Miller Espinoza, the arbitrator, said in a written decision Thursday that the Post did not have good and sufficient cause to terminate Ms. Ataya and violated its labor agreement. Ataya made a number of social media posts on the 10th of September, the day of Charlie Kirk's murder. In one of them, she said, "Refusing to tear my clothes and smear ashes on my face in performative mourning for a white man who espoused violence is not the same as violence." The Post said Ataya's post on Blue Sky had harmed the integrity of the organization and also violated its standards for public communication. Oh, well, that's the problem. They tried to predicate her firing on the integrity of the Washington Post? That's an easy argument. Your Honor, the Post has no integrity. How could she be damaging something that does not exist? It's a very good argument. The decision comes after a year-long battle between Ataya and the newspaper, in which she accused of violating the labor agreement and its social media policy. Quote, "This decision confirms what we said from the start. I was doing my job as an opinion writer. It was simply my opinion that white guys dying is a good thing. It's just my mere opinion that it was a good thing that a father of two was murdered in cold blood as an act of political terrorism. Just my opinion, okay? A clause in the agreement allows employees to submit disputes for arbitration. Arbitration is generally considered binding in most disputes, though courts have occasionally overturned decisions after courtrooms findings of fraud or other improprieties. The post-labor agreement says that arbitration is binding. So, if the arbitration is binding, I mean, what are you supposed to say? I mean, the arbitration is binding, guys, so therefore you have to let the psychotic reprobate back into your organization. Remember, democracy dies in darkness. Okay? Assassinations, it's just really another form of sunlight. You know, killing a political spokesperson because you disagree with his ideas, that's, you know, basically civil resistance. It's like the civil rights movement all over again. So, those damned white supremacists at the Washington Post tried to fire a brave black woman for daring to celebrate a brutal, cold-blooded murder of a political figure, but she showed them. Thank God. So that's like just a little example for you of the unending and continuous and unremitting failures of the Trump administration. Even their high-profile, like political, you know, journalist enemies that are just should maybe be arrested for trying to incite violence. But no, instead, they're going to be reinstated in their job, probably with back pay, and she may get a big settlement out of it, you know, for unlawful termination. So, you know, instead of our enemies being in any way cowed or even in the slightest way punished or held to account for their various outrages, they're actually being rewarded with millions of dollars for being despicable scumbags calling for violence. So good for them. It's good for them. Do you know Donald Trump went on Michael Cohen's podcast? Can the crew confirm that? Now that I say that, I feel like I might have been dreaming. Was I dreaming when I saw that? He really did. He went on Michael Cohen's podcast. So, do we all remember who Michael Cohen is? Michael Cohen, who was Trump's lawyer, right-hand man, who literally tried to throw him in prison for 400 years. Turncoat, who provided false evidence to the trial in order to convict Donald Trump for sleeping with a porn star and paying her off. Michael Cohen, Trumper's fixer turned enemy, is hosting the president on his radio show. I mean, what is that? So, Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massie, Alex Jones, diehard Trump supporters the entire time, merely disagreed with him about the propriety of going to war with Iran or destroying the Epstein investigation. They are reformable. They are just enemies of Donald Trump. He went on another screed today. Raging or over the weekend. I mean, Trump rages at, quote, totally irrelevant Tucker Carlson after J.D. Vance attended event with Carlson fundraiser. funder. President Trump fired off a lengthy Truth Social post on Friday night, excoriating Tucker Carlson, former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Representative Thomas Massie, just saying the worst things about them, just trying to, you know, cut them off at the knees should they try to actually build a political coalition to oppose him. He really wants to snuff that out in its nascent form. But the man who humiliated Trump, forced Trump to go sit in a courtroom and have his love affair with a porn star aired for the whole world, the man who lied about the directions he got in getting payment in order to try to send Donald Trump to prison for hundreds of years on a made up fake charge that Michael Cohen spearheaded and led. Trump went on his show. Trump is friends with him. Trump mended that bridge. So what are we doing here? Yeah, like literally, what the hell? That's like all I have to say about it. What the hell? People who literally, Alex Jones lost everything because of his support of Donald Trump. You all know that, right? We could do it again right here live if you wanted. You can do it at home. Go to Google News, search Alex Jones, Sandy Hook, set the time frame for any time prior to 2016. You'll get no results. You get no headlines. You get no stories. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't a thing. Nobody cared. It was 1 week after Trump got elected, and the first headline about it is Donald Trump is associated with Alex Jones, and Alex Jones is the Sandy Hook question guy. That was the first connection. That was the first reason. Now, that was the first time that Alex Jones was called the, you know, progenitor of the Sandy Hook conspiracy, which he never was. The whole thing was thought up by deep state activists and Democrat lawyers connected to the highest realms of the Democrat Party. And it was entirely as punishment for Alex Jones helping Donald Trump get elected. As we've seen and reported on and showed the videos on the show during the trial, they had disinformation experts come on to testify as to just how influential Alex Jones was in getting Donald Trump elected. So Alex Jones and myself and this organization, but mostly Alex, have been hauled through the gauntlet for the last 6 years at this point. More than that, 2018 was when the lawsuits really started. 8 years at this point. Lost our business. Alex Jones lost millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars having to pay for lawyers. Obviously is still going to have his wages garnished for the rest of his life to pay off the ridiculous charge of the $1.2 billion settlement. But God forbid he have a difference with Donald Trump. God forbid he question Donald Trump's acumen when he's sending us to war in Iran in the most retarded offensive the world has ever seen. That's unforgivable. Sure, you may have had your entire life destroyed because of your support of me. Sure, your support of me was crucial in me even getting to where I am, and without you, I would have lost the election to Hillary Clinton. Sure, you've never asked for anything, never tried to cash in on your clout. And I really think that might be it. I really do think Donald Trump thinks you're stupid if you help him without getting something in return. And I think he genuinely respects people like Mark Levin and Michael Cohen and all these people who will attack and try to destroy Donald Trump, but they do it because, you know, they're going to get something. And they'll support Donald Trump, but only if they get something from him first. And he respects that. For some reason, he respects that. What he doesn't respect is people just genuinely promoting him, genuinely championing him because they genuinely think he's best for America and want America to be saved. You're an idiot and a sucker in his eyes. And I think that may explain some of the psychology here. Is when Donald Trump hears, hey, this person just out of their own generosity and support of you, just like gave you a ton of stuff. He literally is not like thankful. He's not like, wow, what a great gift I've been given. He's literally like, what an idiot. How much more can we get? what else can we get from them? They just gave us all this for free. He supported me for free. Pfft, idiot. Moron. Why would he? He's so stupid. Like, I think that's sort of the mindset, which again, sort of is really the best illustration of the difference of mindset between somebody like Alex Jones and somebody like Donald Trump, where Alex Jones was never trying to get anything from the Trump administration. His calculus was never, if I support Trump and help him over the line, then he'll be in hawk to me. Then I will have power over him, or I better get in contact with Trump and, you know, wield my support for him like a negotiation. What can I get from it in exchange for, you know, my valuable audience that I hold? It's just like that never even enters into the mind of somebody like Alex Jones, where he's just like, I want what's best for America. I think Trump is the guy with the right policy prescriptions. I'm going to support him full-fledged, whole hog. I'm going to just go all in on this. And yeah, I may suffer, and yeah, I may, you know, get destroyed over it, but it's the right thing to do, and it's a last chance hope, Hail Mary that we have to throw here. That's the mindset of Alex Jones. Through the eyes of Donald Trump, Alex Jones is an idiot. He's an idiot because he had something very valuable and he just gave it to Trump for free. Trump is has an evil mindset. I think what we're discovering is Trump's mindset is sort of evil in a lot of ways. Unless you can come up with another reason why Michael frickin' Cohen, the man, like, actually stabbed Trump in the back in the most humiliating and brutal and underhanded way. That's fine. That's a, you know, Donald Trump, yeah, you go on your show, absolutely. And if the crew can find a video of it, I mean, it's like old chums, you know, it's like, remember that time I tried to throw you in prison for the rest of your life by exposing your affair with a porn star and then I lied about paying her off under direction for you? Remember when I lied to try to destroy your life and send you to a concrete box for decades? That was crazy. Wasn't that so crazy when I did that? That was nuts. And Trump's like, yeah, that was crazy, man. I can't believe you did that. Anyway, how you doing? Meanwhile, Alex Jones is like drowning, just like weights pulling his neck down. He's like struggling to stay above water as like all of Trump's enemies punish Alex Jones for supporting Trump in the first place, just like stabbing him in the eye with a spear. And Trump is just like, look at that idiot drowning. Look at that moron drowning when I could help him. And he's sitting there like spinning the rescue floaty on his finger, just like, probably should have made a deal with me, dummy. Yeah, it's audio only. The interview nobody thought possible. President Donald J. Trump. I'm going to call that Jewish privilege. I'm going to call Trump support Jewish privilege. I think that's what it is. I can't help but notice a consistency here. I can't help but see. And I know this is the anti-Semite in me coming out, noticing patterns and things. Anybody happen to notice that all the anti-Trump people that Trump is now like best friends with all happen to be diehard Zionist Jews like Michael Cohen? Isn't that crazy how that works? It's just probably just a coincidence, you know? Cohen, coincidence, get it? So yeah, not raging at anybody like that. He's saving the, you know, certain things, certain people Trump's willing to rage over, okay? Israel gets him into an impossible-to-win war. They trick him with fake intelligence, destroy his chance of success in the midterms, destroy his chance of ever having a successful administration in any possible way. You know, humiliate him regularly throughout this entire process. Trump is trying to get a negotiation. Israel kills the negotiators. Time after time after time, they're just like spitting in his face and laughing at him, and he thanks them and asks for another. But if Canada dares to try to, you know, negotiate a good fair trade deal, the fire comes roaring out from Donald Trump. He will destroy them and he will burn them to the ground and they will never forget this. It's just like, how about some of that energy towards literally anything that matters? Anybody actually destroying the United States, can we put some modicum of that vitriol and that anger and that fury? It's only reserved for his biggest supporters previously, like Donald Trump or like Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alex Jones. Nothing but fire and brimstone and hatred and just spewing the most vicious epithets and just like, you idiot, moron, low IQ demons. And it's like, what did they do? What did they do to you, Trump? And Tucker like, I don't know about this whole Iran war thing. Trump's just like, I want to kill him. I want to skin him alive and wear his skin as a coat. And then it's like Michael Cohen gets pretty damn close to throwing him in jail for the rest of his life. And Trump's just like, bah, you. Oh, you. You silly goose. I just, you know, I'd like to see some consistency here. This video is supposedly from last year, but it got retweeted and went viral over the weekend because it corresponds with a major deal Trump made. This having to do with Argentinian beef and Trump buying Argentinian beef to make up for the shortfall of beefs, because he wants to keep the prices low. Obviously, he's not actually concerned in keeping the prices low. There's like a billion different things he would do if that was the case. But no, he wants you to believe that out of well, I shouldn't even say that. See, like, just nothing Trump does aligns with anything Trump says. So I'll go over sort of my response to this in just a second. But clip number 14 here, supposedly from 2025, but was reposted this week as discussions of getting, you know, possibly poisoned, but, you know, maybe good meat from Argentina. Let's go to clip number 14 now.
Question is, what do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them, as look, they are
a Argentina's farmer. Fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can. But don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? They're dying.
What do you mean by being?
Yes, all of Argentina will die if we don't import their beef. Trump wants cheaper beef. Republicans in key races warn his plan goes too far. Key Trump allies Tom Cotton and Tim Sheehy say the president's directive will harm American ranchers. Of course it will. Of course it will. They're talking about subsidizing and importing a bunch of foreign beef. Obviously, that's going to drive down prices, which is going to eat into the profit margins of the beef suppliers, which have been decimated by Biden's administration and then Trump administration before that. They're down just like across the board economically. The production amounts that they're creating, they're struggling. They're really struggling. So this isn't actually going to help them. This is going to harm them further. There's no other possibility. It'll keep prices down a little bit, but that's not really the issue here. And I exchange about this with ANC Aesthetics, one of my favorite Twitter accounts ever. So, you know, while we may disagree here, I encourage you to go follow the guy. Aesthetica at ANC_aesthetics says the beef controversy is a good indicator of people acting in bad faith out of Trump derangement syndrome. There's no good solution to the fact that cattle herds were decimated under Biden, literally none. You can't magically make cows appear out of thin air, and high prices mean cattle farmers are incentivized to sell instead of producing more beef. If you don't import Argentinian beef, people will complain about affordability and extremely high beef prices. If you do import Argentinian beef, people will complain about undercutting American cattle farmers. Reasonable people understand that Trump is between a rock and a hard place, and the temporary importation of quality beef from Argentina is actually a pretty good answer to an impossible problem. So I get that. I understand the reasoning. But my response is this. It just seems arbitrary at best and malicious at worst what is being prioritized and where the admin is willing to cause suffering. If he said, look, the Biden decimated the beef industry, so prices are going to be high and government subsidies will be necessary. But at the end of this, our beef industry will flourish and prices will fall permanently. Then fine. That short term, that's actually legitimate short term pain for long term gain. You understand what I mean? Like, If the American people were told, hey, we're not importing beef, beef prices are going to go up, yeah, we wouldn't be happy. But if it was a part of a comprehensive plan to rebuild the cattle ranching sector of our economy and say, hey, look, you know, we're going to subsidize the cattle ranchers just so they can get back on their feet, you know, fill in some of the patches here or there just so we can get back up to speed after what Biden did, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. I think we would understand it and we'd suffer through, you know, $5 cheeseburgers for a little while. But like, at the end of it, you would actually have something to show for it. You'd have the gain to show for the short-term pain. But he's basically putting a patch on this issue. By his own words, he was trying to help out Argentina to keep, and this is all just to keep prices low for now. It's not actually helping to repair the problem. Meanwhile, he is willing to endure massive inflation and high gas prices to wage war on Iran, so Americans can take a hit to their wallet to fight Iran, but not to rebuild the cattle ranches. In the same way, he stops deportations because they're causing bad press, but no amount of bad press or outrage can get him to release the Epstein files or to restrain the Israelis. So it's not that the reasons we're given aren't valid. You can make the argument, and it can be a valid one. But it's that it only seems to imply when the admin wants it to. If he'd spent his second term ruthlessly prioritizing American interests, then I would give him the benefit of the doubt when it came to importing beef. But the pattern seems to be that when American industry or that American industry and American people always have to take the hit. He's always willing to, you know, allow American industry and the American people to have a little bit higher prices, a little bit, you know, more difficult production. We always seem to be the ones holding the bag at the end of it. Data centers would be another one. But do you understand what I mean? That it's just, it's inconsistent. It's arbitrary. Something is unpopular. Like, you've got two things, both of them unpopular, deportations and the Iran war. The Iran war is much, much more unpopular. The Iran war is not only unpopular with the left, it's unpopular with half of his constituency as well. But that he's willing to do. That public outrage means nothing, doesn't even concern him. Maybe don't even make it up to him. But the protesters that don't want deportations, well, we can't have the bad press. Well, midterms are coming up, and this would look really bad. We don't want to energize our enemies, so we can't do that. Even though it's less outrage, less unpopular than the war in Iran. So it's just completely arbitrary what the Trump administration chooses to prioritize or not. And also, Argentina sent a big shipment of beef to China, and even China rejected it because of some of the hormones and chemicals that were discovered in the beef. So this may just be Trump importing a bunch of literally poisoned beef to give the Zionist colony of Argentina better luck. Because that's really what it is. Like, all of this stuff, it's literally all just the Israelis. I mean, it's really not that complicated, but like Venezuela, Argentina, the war in Iran, the war in Ukraine, like what do all these things have in relationship with each other? Why is Morocco being allowed to invade a Spanish enclave? It all goes back to the diplomatic machinations of Israel using America and America's diplomatic or economic prowess to get compromise or to benefit their friends. Michael freaking Cohen, can you believe it?
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
London, 1884. A group of socialists sit down with a plan that will outlive every one of them. Remake Britain without a revolution. All right, but how? Well, get inside the institutions, influence the people running them, change the country, one law at a time. They called themselves the Fabian Society. Their method was called permeation. Councils, universities, the civil service, parliament. Put your people and ideas where decisions are made. Bring in public ownership and more services run by government, bit by bit. Fabius Maximus was a Roman general known for avoiding the big battle, wearing down his enemy and waiting for the right moment to strike. That's who they named themselves after. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." 2 years after the society was formed, the Fabians put the same image on one of their own documents. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah, really. In 1895, leading Fabians helped found the London School of Economics. A year later, Sidney Webb wrote about the breeding of degenerate hordes who were unfit for social life. Deciding who should have children and who shouldn't. And this wasn't some nutter who came to a meeting. Sidney Webb was one of the most important Fabians who ever lived. By 1900, the society had helped form the Labour Representation Committee, the organisation that became the Labour Party. George Bernard Shaw wrote, "The only fundamental and possible socialism is the socialisation of the selective breeding of man." H.G. Wells advocated controlling the reproduction of people he considered unfit. And this is where it gets properly dark. Because in 1910, Sidney Webb called for preventing the continued procreation of people he described as feeble-minded and degenerate. His answer? Interfere, interfere, interfere. Just let that sink in. The same political circle arguing that the state should care for people throughout their lives was also arguing that the state should interfere with who was allowed to reproduce. Around 1910, the wolf appeared again in the Fabian window. George Bernard Shaw and Sidney Webb are shown hammering the world on an anvil beneath the words, "Remold it nearer to the heart's desire." And above them, the wolf in sheep's clothing. By the 1930s, Sidney and Beatrice Webb were praising Stalin's Soviet Union as a new civilization. Famine, forced collectivization, political repression, the purges, the gulag. Millions were starving, imprisoned, or dead, while the Webbs presented the Soviet system as progress. They dismissed reports of millions dying in the famine as fantastically excessive. Even in 1942, they wrote, "Stalin is not a dictator." Yeah, course not, mate. They also called the Soviet Union the most inclusive and equalized democracy in the world. By 1945, the Fabians had gone from a small group in London to 229 members elected to Parliament, many serving under Clement Attlee.
This is then a fantastic AI-generated but very well-done video about the Fabian Society, just in case you need to be reminded that it's literally all on purpose, that nothing that's happening in the modern world, not in Europe, not in America, it's not an accident. It's all on purpose. It's all by design. It's all by a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing. So you have to be a sheepdog.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings, you'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm just going to go through some headlines here to give you a little overview of what's going on. We're going to get back into the political landscape, and I also want to talk about perhaps the most liked tweet of all time. Was made over the weekend and has caused a massive firestorm, claims of anti-Semitism. But it's the most liked tweet of all time. So we'll talk about that in just a second. Here's just some headlines from AlexJonesLive.com. A new study says that fluoride exposure during pregnancy is linked to lower childhood IQ. What? I can't believe it. Fluoride exposure during pregnancy is linked to reduced childhood IQ, a new study from the National Institute of Health suggests. The study compared test scores from 2,500 U.S. children aged 3 to 17 with data on levels of fluoride in drinking water, which allowed the researchers to estimate prenatal exposure to the substance. The researchers found that fluoride levels close to or above 675 micrograms per liter were associated with significantly lower levels of fluid cognition, including problem solving, memory, attention, and the ability to adapt to new information. The strongest link was in children under 7. The U.S. Public Health Service recommends levels of no higher than 700 micrograms per liter in municipal drinking water, while the EPA's limit is significantly higher at 4,000 micrograms per liter. The study did not estimate total exposure, including toothpaste, food supplements, and bottled water. The study adds a large body of work that looks at how early exposure to environmental contaminants may be associated with the development of thinking and learning processes that are important for children's developmental outcomes, says the co-author of the study. Continuing to study fluoride and other exposures will be integral in supporting children's environmental health and well-being. But we're going to keep adding it to the water in the meantime. But in the meantime, while we figure out the damage that it does to children, we will continue to deliberately add it to the drinking water. Great. Protect yourself, folks. Do you have a water filter? Do you need one? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Over 80% of North Africans in Switzerland have been accused of one or more crimes. 80% of North Africans in Switzerland have been accused of one or more crimes. That's 4 out of 5. North Africans in Switzerland have been accused of a crime, which means the fifth one just wasn't caught. I'm going to go ahead and assume when you've got 80% of a population actually on the record having been arrested and charged with a crime, I'm going to assume that 20% just gotten away with it so far. That's just me. Around 80.5% of asylum seekers from North African countries were accused of one or more offenses in Switzerland underlying the massive amount of criminality present in this foreign population. The data comes from the State Secretariat for Migration. For asylum seekers as a whole, the rate of criminality is much lower, only 12.5% having been accused of one or more offensive. Nationals from Algeria, Morocco, and Tunisia are therefore extremely overrepresented compared to other asylum seeker groups. Do you think in, like, Ireland in the 1100s, there were newspapers being like, 80% of Vikings have committed outrages against Irish women? It's like, yeah, they're Vikings. They're raiding you for plunder and rape. Like, that's what they're doing. Yeah, of course. You just, like, at a certain point, it's not the outlier anymore. When you have 80% of the people convicted of a crime, that means that they're coming to your country to commit the crime. It means they are raiding you like Vikings. It means that they are seeing you as a undefended frontier where they can go and take what they want. And that's what they're doing. Asylum seekers. They can seek the asylum at the bottom of a well, I think is the best action there. And you know it only takes once. You know it only takes one. I didn't even grab all of them. I may have one video in here, but over the weekend there were at least three or four videos, again, of Spanish beaches and boats full of Africans arriving and a bunch of white women in bikinis, like, gathering up their towels and going off and, like, running away as just literally, I mean, it looks like a Viking, like, scene from a Viking movie. Like, the ship runs up on the beach, it disgorges the warriors, the citizens run for their lives. Over and over and over again, this is happening. At a certain point, you need to machine gun them. I hope I'm not being too, like, nuanced for you here. You need a mounted machine gun nest, and you need to kill everybody trying to invade your country, because that's what you do to invaders, because you're being invaded. That's why you have an army. that's how our world is set up, actually. So when you have hostile invasion from foreign peoples, your army is there to kill those people. And you only need to do it once. I think you only need to do it about once. And I think you do it on film. You spread that around. You go, this is what's going to happen to all the Africans that try to get into our country. And then no more Africans will try to get into your country. But if they do, guess what you do? Guess what? You machine gun them. It's pretty simple. It's actually pretty simple. It's not that complicated. Why won't they do it? In Ceuta, there's still like 70,000 hostile foreigners. And at this point, they're calling it, here's at least one of the videos. They're like, there's a sexual crime crisis breaking out in Ceuta, where just like dozens of girls have been raped or kidnapped or just like lost. Look at this moron. Look at this absolute idiot. She's like trying to get him off him. And he's just like, I mean, dude, they can go back to. They can go back to all the people supporting this can also be put back on the ship and sent away. I mean, my God, the charade of all of this. But moving on, Comcast is now offering a new home security feature. Are you excited to find out what it is? Comcast has revealed and is now advertising a new home security feature with its Xfinity routers that allows movement to be tracked inside a customer's home using Wi-Fi signal alone. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The dystopian surveillance technology that was seen as a indictment of our entire system when first revealed by whistleblowers, Edward Snowden, exposing the NSA. It's now offered as a package add-on with your Xfinity and subscription. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? The claims that used to make everyone around you think that you were an insane conspiracy theorist, paranoid whack job is now just an extra benefit that you get for signing up now. It's crazy. Xfinity Shield, a new bundle, includes a feature called Wi-Fi Motion that can turn internet routers into motion detectors. An opt-in future Wi-Fi motion uses the Wi-Fi signal from a customer's Xfinity gateway to sense movement in their home. No cameras needed or recordings captured, the company said in a press release. The feature works by detecting changes in radio frequency signals traveling between routers and devices connected to them by Wi-Fi. Users can receive push notifications when motion is detected near a device, and the feature has different settings for when people are at home, asleep, or out of the house. Xfinity app allows users to watch live motion activity. The new feature has raised privacy concerns, especially since Wi-Fi can be used to provide far more accurate identifying information than just motion patterns. I mean, it's like, okay. I guess it's nice for them to admit now that they can do this, but it's a little frustrating that we used to be called all sorts of names for pointing out that Wi-Fi had this ability and that they could be using Wi-Fi routers to literally 3D map the inside of your home as well as watch you in real time as you move around it. Newsom has signed the Stop Nick Shirley Act into law. It's an act called the Stop Nick Shirley Act. Nick Shirley is a citizen journalist who exposes corruption. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new bill into law that critics have dubbed the Stop Nick Shirley Act and claimed it will prevent journalists from uncovering fraud. The San Francisco Chronicle reports Newsom signed Assembly Bill 2624 into law after months of vitriolic attacks from Republicans in California and Washington falsely claimed the legislation would obstruct journalists from uncovering fraud. Assemblymember Carl DeMeo. It's called the Stop Nick Shirley Act. And these crazy Republicans are saying it's to stop fraud from being uncovered. You might as well have called it the Stop Fraud from Being Uncovered Act. That's what Nick Shirley does. That's all he's ever done. That's what he's famous for. And that's what the act seeks to stop. So that's what it is. The bill expands a long-running state program that hides the addresses of survivors of domestic violence and elder abuse, as well as healthcare workers. Safe at Home program provides substitute mailing addresses for individuals who are believed to be at risk of threat and targeted attacks. The new law expands its coverage to employees working at immigration nonprofits. Conservative lawmakers in California and other states have said that the new law will be used to intimidate people trying to shine light on bad behavior. Of course it will. Of course it. Why? Of course. That's the only thing it will do. What other reason would you have for making it illegal to publish the names of activists who are actively subverting your entire country and breaking the law? Do you understand what's happening here? That there are people in California scamming the government, running fake healthcare programs for people that don't exist, getting millions of dollars of taxpayer money, or like working to provide services to illegal aliens, both of which are just blatantly illegal acts, and they've passed a law to make it illegal to investigate the crimes. Glad we all understand where that's going. Then we have this. Israel is sponsoring ads on Ted Cruz podcast. Is that legal? I'm going to say right now, no, it's not. I don't think it is legal. Because nobody is paying for ads on Ted Cruz's podcast. Has anybody ever listened to a podcast by Ted Cruz? Like, do you understand how suspicious that is? Like, if you're like an IRS agent, you're looking through somebody's, you know, financial returns, and you're like, you're paying $5,000 a month for boat storage, but you don't have a boat. You know, there's like an inconsistency there. There's something missing. It's like you shouldn't be paying for something that doesn't exist. So you're paying to advertise, but there's no audience. How does that make any sense? Sounds like corruption, if you ask me. The Israeli government is running advertisements on a podcast hosted by Senator Ted Cruz. The article says popular, but can we get some confirmation of that? I don't know. Can the crew find where Ted Cruz's podcast sits on the charts? Because according to this report, the company has given Ted Cruz, or the Israeli government has given Ted Cruz, $1.738 million in digital revenue for the to the Truth and Courage pack since 2023. You tell me, is that an appropriate market rate for advertising on a podcast that four people listen to? I mean, what's the return on investment on that? It can't be much. So maybe Ted Cruz is just like taking a page out of Trump's book. They're like, hey, as long as nobody's getting charged and busted for corruption, let's just go all in. Let's just go whole hog. It's actually a very, it's sort of a Hunter Biden-esque scam they're running. Very, very, very Hunter-ish. Hunterinian. Bidenian, you might say. A Bidenian scam that they're running where you, where a Saudi prince buys a canvas that Hunter Biden spit paint on for $50 million and goes, well, but it's an investment in a painting. And there's no bribe. How could this be a bribe? How could this be us, you know, funneling money to somebody? We're purchasing an object. We're paying $50 million for a piece of paper. That's normal, right? Same thing with Ted Cruz. It's like, you're going to pay to advertise on Ted Cruz's podcast. Is it more popular than I think? Is it actually popular? That's worse news than anything. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. The Verdict with Ted Cruz, hosted by Senator Ted Cruz with co-host Ben Ferguson, produced by iHeart Podcast, currently ranks solidly in the upper tiers of Apple Podcast category charts in the U.S., although the exact positions fluctuate daily. That's deeply upsetting. Apple Podcast. So in the U.S. politics chart, it typically ranks in the top 11 to 26. So it was number one, number 11 on one tracker, number 24 on others like Reason FM and Raphonic, 26 on Podfollow. It's typically in the top 40 to 66 from around number 40 to number 50 on pod status, 65 to 66 on other trackers. I mean, the sheer fact that this podcast is in the top 100 is deeply upsetting to me. Forget Joe Rogan. The next big podcast bro is in the Senate. They're writing articles about this in November 2025. Well, maybe we see why here. Radio and podcast giant iHeartMedia has syndicated Cruz's show, Verdict with Ted Cruz, since 2022. Because of lobbying-related restrictions, the company cannot legally pay the senator for ad revenue, but it turns out that's not the only way to ensure the money benefits Cruz. In an unusual licensing deal, iHeartMedia agreed to donate revenue associated with the show's advertising sales to the Truth and Courage PAC, a super PAC dedicated to ensuring Ted Cruz is reelected to the United States Senate. The company has given at least $1,738,000 of digital revenue to the Truth and Courage PAC since 2023. The agreement has drawn significant scrutiny from watchdog groups, some of which filed a complaint against Cruz with the FEC, alleging that he brazenly violated laws that bar candidates from receiving corporate donations. Though the senator admitted to having met with representatives from the company to discuss the acquisition of the show, the agency ruled in his favor, finding that there was no available information to indicate that Cruz solicited, directed, received, transferred, or spent the funds iHeart paid to the PAC. The government-funded ad revenue appears to operate in a similarly gray area. The advertisements, which are part of the $7 million I Am Israel campaign launched in June, are geared towards encouraging Christians to visit the country and see biblical sites for themselves. The campaign appears to exploit a loophole in election financing laws. Candidates and PACs are banned from receiving any funding directly or indirectly from foreign nationals, according to the FEC, but Cruz would only run afoul of campaign finance laws if Israel explicitly earmarked its contribution to go to the PAC. So they have to admit what they did before we are allowed to consider it breaking the law. So because Israel hands money to the production company that then funnels that money into the PAC, but they don't actually say that they intend for it to go to the PAC, but they do give the money knowing that that's where it's going, but they didn't explicitly say that's what it's for. I think we need a Jewish privilege bell. I think we need a Jewish privilege bell. It can be a sound effect of some sort. But just like anytime I'm reading stories about how, like, yeah, Ted Cruz might be kind of breaking finance laws, but it's, you know, the state of Israel is, and, you know, maybe it's not totally allowed, but they haven't admitted they did. It's just like, ding. It's like, ah, yes, of course. Of course, laws don't apply to certain people. Laws can be ignored if it's beneficial to certain people or certain foreign countries. I forget, you know, this is the world that we live in. Do you think for a single second we don't even have to speculate. What happened with Tenet Media a couple years ago? Wasn't that a foreign country, Russia, providing funds? And in that case, the people that the funds were going to, they didn't even know where the funds were coming from. And that was proven out. They're not politicians that are in the United States Senate, so they're not even bound by campaign finance laws. I need the bell. I need the bell. Ding. Certain people, for certain reasons, certain situations, just doesn't really matter. By the way, the flock conversation continues to dominate, and Republicans continue to tie themselves resolutely to the least popular programs, or just whatever the least popular thing is. The Republicans have adopted that as a core aspect of their personality. In this case, data centers, flock cameras, all the things that for some reason the left hates, even though they're actually in favor of all this stuff and will not hesitate for a single second to use this stuff in the most tyrannical way they can. They're against it. The libertarian-minded Republicans, obviously against the panopticon, permanent, persistent control grid. How's it going to be used? We're getting at least one example here. Police are searching for a man who found $30 on the ground and didn't hand it in. Police in Georgia are asking for the public's help in identifying a Walmart shopper who allegedly picked up $30 another customer dropped and kept the cash. The Albany Police Department shared an image of the unidentified person on Facebook, saying the incident happened at the Walmart located at 2586 North Slappy Boulevard in Albany, Georgia. According to police, another shopper dropped $30 on the ground while inside the store. The person pictured then allegedly picked up the money and did not hand it over to Walmart employees. The police are now doxing people who picked up money on the ground. The actual law enforcement authorities in Georgia published a man's face on Facebook for security camera footage because he found cash on the ground and didn't hand it over to the Walmart employees. What do you think happens if you hand cash to a Walmart employee? Do you think they're going to go on a manhunt to find who it belongs to? Do you think they're going to get on the PA and say, if you've dropped $30, come to the front and claim it? Are they going to prove that it's their money? How are they going to return the money to the appropriate owner of the money if it's money, if it's cash money? It doesn't have their name on it, does it? So you wanted the old man who, his lucky day, finds 30 bucks on the ground. It's like, just imagine, I mean, there's so much stuff like this where you just imagine, like, you're walking around Walmart, you look down, there's like a 20 and a 10 on the ground. You look around, and you're like, I'm the only one on this aisle. Guess I'll keep this. Like, what would you even do? Like, I better take this to the front to turn it. Like, what? Who would do that? Nobody would do that. You're just thinking like, my lucky day. Maybe I'll get two of this thing instead of one. You know, maybe I'll buy myself a treat on the way out with my extra cash. Meanwhile, the drones have been deployed. The eye in the sky is zooming in and facial recognition scans are determining your age and likely location. Your boss is being called and all of your friends are seeing your mugshot on Facebook because how dare you find something on the ground and keep it? Meanwhile, as you're leaving, there's just like four black dudes like beating a white guy with a bat outside Walmart. The police run right by them to slam you to the ground and take the $30 out of your pocket and put it in their pocket and run away. Job well done, boys. Another crime thwarted. You want me to keep going? You want me to keep going, folks? Because they're also just slaughtering wild horses. That's another story we have here. You see what I mean? It's like, I don't want a black pill, but it's just like everything is just insane to a degree that is like totally inexplicable. A heartbreaking investigation revealed that Trump's Bureau of Land Management is systematically rounding up thousands of America's wild horses, then quietly selling them off to buyers who are shipping them to slaughterhouses abroad. Before, the U.S. government rarely sold wild horses, but since Trump took office, government sales have doubled. Slaughterhouses pay up to $750 a wild horse, the investigation found. They're literally rounding up wild horses to send to slaughterhouses overseas. Golden age, baby. Trump 2.0. This is what we voted for.
My fellow patriots,
The first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Folks, it's not just in America where this is happening, which, I don't know, man. Everything's so crazy. It really is too much. From IMA at IMA Music. The New South Wales government is going to shoot Australian wild Brumby horses starting tomorrow, 6 a.m. Monday, 24th of August through Friday the 28th in Yarigiri National Park. They will be mass shooting the animals from helicopters. These horses do not always die immediately, and dependent foals can be left without their mothers. Over 7,000 wild horses have already been killed through aerial shooting in Kuzikyo or something at National Park. Now aerial shooting is being used against horses in Uragir, all in the name of protecting the environment. If the New South Wales government actually cared so deeply about protecting the environment, why is it facilitating 15 proposed data center projects worth almost $52 billion, despite the enormous electricity and water demands associated with data centers? What about the trapping and rehoming these horses? Many locals who live alongside them dispute the extent of environmental damage being attributed to these animals. Where's the recent publicly available independent and transparent evidence showing the current extent of environmental damage specifically caused by the horses in this park? And where's the evidence showing that shooting them from helicopters is necessary instead of pursuing non-lethal alternatives? Some people argue that wild horses can impact ecosystems. This does not automatically mean aerial shooting is the only or the right solution, in my opinion. This is awful and inhumane. There are better ways to manage these beautiful animals than shooting them from the sky. So, like, you know, it gets to the point where you learn that the Trump administration is rounding up and selling off wild horses to foreign meatpacking plants. And you go, at least they're selling them. You know, you go, well, at least they're not just shooting them and leaving them to rot. I guess. Is that a positive? I mean, I guess if we're looking on the bright side of things, sure, the magnificent wild horses charging across the American landscape. It, you know, it looks nice. It's nice. But like, what about the money? But what about the tiny amount of money we can make by culling them all? Have you ever thought about that? And this is where you really get into the paradigm. The just, we cannot break out of it for the life of me. I can't understand how we end up in this situation on, for literally every topic, every single topic ever. In the case of environmental preservation, I read this story about Donald Trump opening up national parks to logging companies and basically assigning huge amounts of pristine preserved forest land to the, you know, most rapacious profit-seeking conglomerates the world has ever seen. And of course, your first instinct is to go, what the hell? What the hell? I like the part. I don't think this is necessary. It's not necessary. You understand? It's like, yeah, I could sell my child's favorite doll and get a couple extra bucks, but I've got piles of gold. So is that really worth it? I guess you could say. Trump administration moves to open untouched forest, national forest, forest to logging. So it's like, well, I'm not okay with that. But then I see a post from somebody that's like, oh, thank God, as a woodsman, I remember these areas. When I was a kid, there was logging going on, so they would maintain the trails and maintain the roads, and the logging companies themselves would, like, upkeep the forest and actually make it a place that could be enjoyed and wouldn't all burn down in a giant wildfire. And so it's just like, once again, it's like, is it at all possible? I mean, is this a wild-eyed dream of mine? To have a government that, like, preserves parkland and takes care of it, but doesn't either log it or surrender it to nature and let it burn in a giant wildfire because they refuse to do anything proactive to stop it. Like, why is this always our choice? Why is literally everything? Like, you'd think, like, one or two things maybe. You could just be like, oh, well, here's a normal compromise that both of us agree with. That's great. Hey, you're environmentalist. You don't want the, you know, trees destroyed. We're woodsmen, but we also understand that, you know, there's a lot of available profit to be made. Can we not find maybe like a middle ground somewhere? Why is just everything retarded all of the time, I guess, is my ultimate question. It's not like this in anything else, you know. You never go to a yogurt shop and they're like, we can give you a bowl of poop or a golden yogurt worth $4 billion. It's like, what about just like a normal offering? What about just like something that's normal that everybody likes and agrees on and isn't going to destroy us one way or the other? Is this possible? I dream of a world where we're not killing all the wild horses and selling them for meat. And we're also not shutting down all of the cattle ranches because the poop is making the planet hot. Is it possible? I mean, am I the crazy one here? Am I John Lennon's Imagine? I'm just like picturing this like impossible future where just like we are simultaneously not rapaciously harvesting every organic material we can find for immediate and transient profit. And we're also not deliberately shutting down industry and deliberately destroying the planet in the pursuit of cooling the planet because we've decided to believe in climate change. And so we have to pay Bill Gates to chop down trees and bury them as carbon reservoirs. Like, can we just like, do anything that just makes sense and is normal? Like, is that, I really want to know. Is it possible? Are you a dreamer like me? I dream of a world where wild horses are not gunned out of helicopters or sold to Paraguay to make dog food. It's a dream I have of a world where we can have parkland that doesn't go up in smoke every year and a half because we refuse to do anything to protect the forest and are also trying to build 10,000 more houses on a electric grid that was already overworked and insufficient for what it was needed for. Is it possible? I dream of a world where we bury power lines. I dream of a world where we expel foreign immigrants. Like, what is so hard about all of this? So here's the article about the video we played earlier, that viral Trump clip about Argentinian beef is from 2025, but his new import plan is still angering ranchers. A video circulating widely on social media Sunday appears to show President Trump announcing that the U.S. will buy Argentinian beef while dismissing concerns about struggling American farmers. The video is authentic, but it's not new. It was about 10 months ago that he made that comment. In the original exchange, Trump said buying a limited amount of Argentine beef would lower U.S. prices while assisting the government of Argentine President Javier Milei. The footage has regained attention because Trump announced a separate beef import initiative Friday that could bring substantially more foreign meat into the United States. Under a new proposal, the administration would allow as much as 300,000 metric tons of lean beef trimmings to enter the country during a 90-day period without triggering the higher tariff normally applied to imports exceeding established quotas. That amounts to approximately 661 million pounds of beef. Trump said the foreign suppliers had agreed to sell the product at 25% below current market prices. However, the administration has not identified the participating countries, exporters, or importers. It has also not explained how the discount would be passed through processors and retailers to shoppers. But we can assume that they'll be able to massively undercut the American beef suppliers, so it's not good for them. Hannibal 999 on X has this thread warning that this is in fact a stealth bailout for meat companies. It's a $555 million stealth subsidy to the multinational beef packing industry and fast food lobby. The administration is waiving $554.4 million in tariffs to funnel cheap frozen beef to McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King, not to lower the prices of ground beef at your local grocery store. The fast food industry is facing severe margin compression and consumer pullback due to inflation. This executive order is a stealth bailout for quick service restaurant corporate margins disguised as grocery price relief for working families. Trump is deliberately destroying the U.S. cattle herd. The only way to rebuild a cattle herd is for ranchers to hold back heifers, young females, for breeding instead of sending them to slaughter. When ranchers do this, supply tightens and feedlot prices go up. If you flood the market with cheap imported beef, even for 90 days, what happens to U.S. ranchers? Live cattle futures drop. NCBA CEO, cattle markets have already turned sharply lower this morning. Ranchers who are holding out trying to rebuild the herd see prices drop. Their margins already squeezed by drought and feed cost collapse. What do ranchers do when prices drop and feed is expensive? They liquidate the herd. They sell their cattle to slaughterhouses at lower prices to stop the bleeding. If ranchers liquidate the U.S. cattle herd, it gets even smaller. Who controls the slaughterhouses? The packer monopoly, as Senator Tim Sheehy calls it. JBS, Brazilian, Tyson, Cargill, National Beef. If domestic herd liquidates, ranchers sell off their cattle to the big packers. The packers get cheap domestic cattle. They pair it with cheap imported beef from their parent companies or alliances abroad. JBS stands to make an absolute killing. They source cheap beef tariff-free from Brazil through their own supply chain, blend it with domestic beef, and sell it at a marginal discount while pocketing the massive tariff waiver savings. And if the domestic herd drops further, eventually the U.S. will be structurally dependent on imported beef forever. The U.S. will lose its food security. If you destroy the domestic cattle herd, you consolidate power over the U.S. meat supply into the hands of a few multinational monopolies. Again, JBS, Brazilian-owned, Cargill, etc. These monopolies can then dictate prices indefinitely. Meanwhile, Trump gets a temporarily 25% optics drop in grocery store ground beef for the 60 days leading up to the November election. He potentially saves the GOP House and Senate. Once the domestic herd is liquidated, cows are slaughtered, they are dead. It takes 3 to 5 years to rebuild a herd with gestation plus raising to maturity. So this 90-day window permanently sets back U.S. beef independence by years. This is a massive transfer of wealth from U.S. taxpayers to the meatpacking monopoly and foreign agricultural giants, specifically JBS, out of Brazil. So there you go. Basically, like what I said. And in fact, I believe it was, thought I had it here. I'll find it if I can. But Cernovich was also on this, talking about how this was clearly a bailout and a manipulation of the multi-conglomerates that have already done so much damage to the American beef herd. They're being bailed out. Here it is. Cernovich said this: beef packers Tyson and Cargill conspired to fix prices, driving up costs to consumers. A class action was filed. Tyson and Cargill will pay a pittance based on the profits they made from their illegal conduct. The class action lawyers will get rich, though. The settlement provided that Cargill will pay $32.5 million into a settlement fund that will be used to compensate the consumer IPP class and cover litigation fees and expenses, including the cost of notifying class members and administering the settlement. But yeah, so basically they were caught conspiring to drive up beef prices and then had to pay a fraction of the money they earned through that conspiracy as a punishment. Tyson also, of course, one of the main primary, like most public and prominent funders of the Tent program, which deliberately brought in illegal immigrants so they could work in their factories. And they did this by paying for their lawyers to argue for them in immigration court. They gave them bonuses to health care and child care and provided them a place to live, because apparently bringing somebody in from overseas, buying them a house, paying for their lawyer, paying for their child care and their health care is somehow a better business decision than just hiring an American dude. I don't think it is. I think it's on purpose, just like I think culling the cow herd is on purpose. How could it not be? It's perfectly in line with everything else that we've seen, whether it's forcing the cow suppliers to inject insane, like, methane-killing injections. We covered this in the Netherlands. And Denmark, they like forced all the cows to take these injections and it just killed all of the cows, and they're trying to kill off farming overall. I mean, again, we can cover all this stuff individually. It, like, in a way it feels exhausting because we've already covered this waterfront. We already know where this is going. We already have established what their plan is for the future of food security or insecurity, as it were. They want you weak and miserable and unhealthy, and they don't want you taking advantage of and harvesting the bounty of the earth. You know, having two cows is like a money generating machine, a beef generating machine. They have cows. Those cows have cows. Those cows have cows. You know, no government intervention necessary. Same with chickens. Same with backyard gardens. There's a reason all of these things are going away, and it's not because they're naturally becoming less popular. It's because they're are any number of government and NGO programs specifically designed to eradicate meat from our menu, to just take protein off our plates in order to weaken us. Well, what would the other reason be? Oh, I know. The other reason is so that they can cut you off from the food supply if you misbehave. They literally look at a green field full of cattle running around playing, and they want to destroy that, and they are destroying that. And instead, you're going to have what you have here in America, but to an even greater degree in China, which are like apartment buildings filled with 50,000 cattle and pigs living their entire lives in tiny little cages that they can never move, never even stand up, force-fed slop and injected with all of the disgusting medicines they need to just keep them alive in this charnel house of disease and filth. And then they'll be shoved down a chute and mechanically dismantled. And ideally the whole thing would be roboticized. Ideally, you know, the best outcome, I think, for the way things are going would be you have a bunch of, you know, miserable chickens and pigs sitting in cages so small they can't move, unhealthy, barely even grow feathers, could never survive a single day, you know, in the wild because they've been so dislocated from their, I mean, look, these chickens, like, can't even stand up. But ideally, you know, no human could ever needs to be involved. They go into a chute, the chute just dismantles and processes them. And then again, ideally, it would go into a chute, into a funnel, into the fat mouths of the humans who are likewise strapped to some chair in some warehouse somewhere, consuming Netflix and being fed off of this disgusting, putrid, disease-ridden meat. So again, it's not like this is all like, oh, we're trying to scramble to deal with a situation that has arisen. No, it's like a bunch of people at the top of society have decided we're going to cut off meat for the peasants, and you're seeing that process play out. It's not that complicated. Again, maybe we do need to play the climate change pitch meetings. I made that like 3 years ago, and I laid it out exactly. I'm just like, you know, he's like, you're not going to be able to pass a law banning meat. And I'm like, I'm not going to pass a law. I'm just going to do it. I own all the cattle, so I'm just going to cull them, destroy them, and then there's going to be no meat on your shelves. What are you going to do then, buddy? I don't need to pass a law. I can just force your behavior. I can just make things too expensive for you to own them. I don't have to stop you from buying them. I can just price you out of the market deliberately because I hate you. What other reason is there? And by the way, like, all of this is all come together, and this is very concerning. I mean, there are no less than like 10 headlines that say this. And again, this isn't a different topic. I haven't moved on yet, right? We're still talking about not just the beef that we'll be importing from some mysterious other country in order to possibly maybe give the Republicans a slight boost for the midterms, but in the meantime, doing significant permanent damage to the possibility that cattle ranchers in America ever get back on their feet. But not just that, how that fits in overall to the wider plan to eradicate meat from the diets of Americans. Just like the house prices aren't just about a hiccup in the market, it's about removing the idea of ownership from human society. This is the scale these people operate on. And they can keep you focused on each individual crisis they create, then you'll never zoom out and see how they're all just plots on a timeline leading towards your eventual. I mean, this is what they'll be doing to humans. Like, just see what they do to chickens and pigs and just think, how happy would they be if humans could also be raised like this? If humans could also be trapped in tiny cages where we're never allowed to see the sun, that would be ideal for them, because then you could be made so fat and happy you're disabled. Like, when the powers that be look around, you know they are constantly experiencing like the quiet buzzing of potential rebellion, right? That the people in power are doing things they know are bad for you. They're hurting you on purpose. And their only fear is that you will rise up and destroy them. You know what means you're never going to rise up is if you can't even literally get out of your chair. If you can't even get out of your chair and can't survive 24 hours without pharmaceutical intervention, if you couldn't even fathom where to find food without it being delivered to you by the system, you are not a threat to anybody ever. And that is their point, is they're trying to make you not a threat. They're trying to make you domesticated, like a pig or a chicken or a cow, who not only loves their slavery, but is incapable of existing without the system in which they're imprisoned. So zoom out a little bit, folks. This ain't about beef. This ain't about Argentinian imports. It's not even about the climate or anything like that. It's about a deliberate plan to eradicate the human species for the most part and enslave those who are left. Because there's no reason to be doing any of this if that's not your plan. Because the purpose of a system is what it does. Kind of like how they never intended for migrants to actually benefit the European economy. That doesn't make any sense. I have to laugh because, good Lord. So all of this goes in together. And when you hear about the food insecurity and the looming threat of starvation because of the lack of fertilizer, because of the Iran war, when you're hearing about the Colorado River going dry, the river that feeds the vast majority of American farmland is being drained deliberately by a bunch of data centers that are only being built to create the surveillance grid to track your movement every second of the day, including in your own house in a 3D fashion by hacking into your Wi-Fi router. Like, you realize all these things are kind of very intimately connected with one another, and that it's not a guess as to where this goes or how all of these various aspects of the control grid will be implemented in tandem and coordination to destroy your freedom outright and forever. It's not that complicated, but it is that vicious and evil and obvious. I think it's obvious. And then you have headline after headline like this. U.S. power grid at risk of 18-month blackout. One city has been in the dark for more than a week. Now, we report on this last week, and this is one of these instances where I'm not racist enough. I admit, I get things wrong sometimes because I refuse to acknowledge the clearly racist overtones of certain stories. For example, I talked last week about how absurd it was, how it was indicative of the times and emblematic of America's slide into incompetence and collapse, the fact that Gary, Indiana has been without power for 9 days following a minor rainstorm. Now, I know the demographic makeup of Gary, Indiana. I'm not unfamiliar with that. I didn't mention it as part of the coverage of that story because I'm not racist enough. Okay? The reality is, the reason that Gary, Indiana remains without power to this day is because whenever the power companies were sent to restore power, they were shot by the residents. So South Africa, here we come. I mean, we're seeing glimpses of it. The United States power grid is at risk of a major blackout that could last up to 18 months, according to a new report. Concerns are heightened as one U.S. city has been without power for more than a week. America's aging infrastructure is so badly outdated and potentially vulnerable to coordinated attack. They're raising the alarms. First in 2013, after gunmen shot up 17 transformers at an electrical substation near San Jose, California. Basically, they say that should there be an attack against our electric system, they could very easily knock out the entire power for the entire country for a year and a half. So it's a good time limit, good time, you know, period for you to be aware that you may have to survive with your family without help from the system before they kick the power back on. I don't think they publish this in so many papers with such, you know, coordinated precision if they're not sort of planning on doing this. And remember that a cyber attack on a UK power plant was blamed on Iran just last week. I think they're setting up something. I think they're setting us up for something, and I don't think it's that hard to figure out what.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited
going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Civil court can bankrupt them. Our hope is that by taking the money away, they can't function anymore.
And that was successful?
Yes, every single one of them has been successful.
Today, my understanding is today there was an arrest made, and there is a new indictment that includes the former CFO of SPLC.
The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes.
The chickens are coming home to roost on this, but there's reportedly new indictments. I've been talking to the FBI and others. I'll just leave it at that.
The ADL, SPLC, the propaganda arm, they work hand in fist with the CIA and with the FBI to demonize, target, marginalize, and then imprison people and debank them and everything else they do.
I want to start off with the FOIA request that we got earlier this year. Done by Chase Geyser, which details an investigation started against Alex Jones back in 2013 as being a white, racially motivated extremist. So this started in 2013, and it was ongoing where they had to approve it every 60 days. They would have to review it and go, okay, we're going to keep this going. So as far as we know, it's still ongoing. It's still on the books.
And we got the FOIA request that the Trump FBI gave to us, and yeah. Kyle Serafin, very famous FBI whistleblower who was in counterterrorism, looked at the codes on the documents. They're heavily redacted and blacked out. Right. And he said it was the Boston office. It happened right when Comey got appointed, 2013, under Obama, and was specifically running an espionage, counter-espionage operation against us, which is what they do when they try to do a dragnet to find some dirt, but can't do it inside of a regular criminal investigation.
The number of hate groups has been increasing pretty rapidly and frighteningly, really since 2000.
White people, one nation, and immigration.
White supremacists commit far more acts of domestic terrorism in the United States than radical Islamists, for example.
That demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is?
So they have the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's been caught doing this before, to come in, get a few people from central casting, actors, dress up, you know, like the white supremacists. Then they've got all the Antifa bust in by Soros and everybody. They're ready then, and the police kettle the normal conservatives, march them through, let them get beaten up for the psyop of the image of conservatives getting beat up and Antifa being victorious.
Haiti Bayrick, right? She was the one in charge of contacting the social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and giving them the information on who to ban.
They want to ban us from public and they want to put us in prison for our speech. I mean, that is totalitarian.
It is. And it always starts with speech. It always starts with the First Amendment and goes all the way through the spectrum. And then with her specifically, this is another Black Lives Matter banner that I don't even know what happened to it. This lady was their star witness for the Paul Weiss firm.
By the way, that's the group that's been quarterbacking the lawsuits against me.
Yes, yes.
All the same coordinating group.
All of us, the Oath Keepers, everybody involved.
She was the woman indicted is the star witness on me, you, all of us.
The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been working the PSYOP forever. You know, they've been putting stuff in our food that you've been talking about forever. They've been trying to weaken us, dumb us down. They've been trying to mass manipulate us through propaganda, through our TV shows, through cartoons, even installing, Soros teachers in colleges and schools and things judges. Like that. But, yeah, and we were the few that rose above it. You know, we were the few that rose above it and had a voice. And we weren't afraid to stand up. So we got out there and we rose above what they had thought that they had dumbed us down to. And people saw us and they go, man, if these guys can do it, we can do it. We can fight back. And
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision. And that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have so much to cover in this final hour. I'm going to try to get to all of it. I do want to let you know, folks, they're back. BOGO Sups. BOGO Sups are on at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue BOGO. That's buy one, get one. Buy Methylene Blue Tincture and get Methylene Red Capsules absolutely free. That's two powerful formulas for the price of one. Buy the blue, get the red. Go purple. Go purple. Limited time only. While supplies last, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. This ends tonight. Buy one, get one offer on Methylene Blue. Buy Methylene Blue Tincture. Get Methylene Red Capsules absolutely free. You also get free Shilajit gummies with every order. We are overstocked on Shilajit gummies, so Alex told the crew, get them out of the door. So for a limited time, every order gets a free bottle of Shilajit gummies with their order. You don't have to buy the gummies. You don't have to buy a minimum. You place an order. We're putting a bottle in the box. Absolutely free. This is only while supplies last while we clear out our inventory. Then the giveaway is over. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Get Methylene Blue and get a free bottle of the Methylene Red capsules and a bottle of the Shilajit gummies as long as our stock remains. So go quick. Thealexjonesstore.com. Now, few more things about sort of the American political landscape before we move on. According to Newswire, Trump made over 1,000 stock trades in June worth $78 to $263 million. So, bravo, Donald Trump. You're a trading genius. 1 month, in 1 month, Donald Trump made more money through insider trading than Nancy Pelosi made her entire career. Okay, so everybody who was angry about Hunter Biden getting jobs with Burisma or Nancy Pelosi becoming a multi-millionaire during her time in Congress, where you at? Where you at? Did you really believe? Was that really a bad thing? Are you really against corruption in our government? Or was that just a sort of thing you were saying at the time because it was convenient? Because I actually believe that our government should not be helmed by the most rapacious and greedy and corrupt individuals, but who am I? Then again, who am I to say that? sitting down. This is from C_3C_3 on X. America over the last 55 years, welfare programs have seen a 900% increase. U.S. national debt has seen an increase of 10,500%. Foreign-born population is up 450%. On taxpayer paid assistance, 150% increase. Illegal immigrant population, 4,900% increase at a minimum. This is planned demolition. Planned demolition. It would not be possible without trying to do this. Nobody messes up this badly, okay? And you know that's the case because at every, more or less at every pass, whenever some change was being wrought in the American system, there were those of us standing on the side saying, here's what's going to happen. This is going to be bad. This is going to make things worse. This is going to create a feedback loop that's only going to build upon itself. When you put people on welfare, they tend to stay on welfare intergenerationally. They also vote. They're only going to vote for more welfare. You create a feedback loop that feeds itself. And that was obvious from the beginning. And everybody who warned about it was ignored. And these things were put into place knowingly, willingly, despite the fact that they were never going to work and were always going to end in this spiral of collapse and chaos and demolition. And you've got, you know, the topic of the food supply and the insanity going on there. And whether it is destroying the masculinity in this country, very obviously, deliberately, like there was a, continues to be a giant campaign to literally demonize men for being men and to try to feminize them and try to render them impotent in any way that you can. And of course, that goes to not just like the transgenderism push, not just the like Me Too push and the demonization of male sexuality or just the demonization of people trying to even approach women. It's also the lack of jobs that young men, especially young white men, are getting access to, the lack of education because they're being deliberately gatekept out for diversity measures. Like all of these things compound to make people weak and impotent, right? To imagine the biggest threat to the New World Order, imagine a young man where everything goes right, right? Imagine a young man who gets good food, healthy whole foods when he's young and grows up strong and is, you know, muscular and testosterone ridden and fair and intelligent and well read and confident in who he is and aware of his place in history and thinking forward about what he wants. Like, now picture the product of globalism. It is literally the opposite of that. They want you weak spiritually, weak mentally, weak physically. They want you waffling and malleable and stupid and disconnected and unaware of history. And it's just obvious. It just cannot be argued with because the evidence is all around you. Look around you. Do you see the people that we live with? Do you see the people in the grocery store? Like, was this an accident? If I get hooked up to a bike pump, get inflated a little bit, why is everyone so miserable and fat and unhappy and stupid? I don't know why they would do this. I do know why it happened, though. I said I don't know like I don't know, but I do know. I'm sorry. I misinformed you. It's because of the fluoride and the atrazine and the programming and the media push and the dopamine addiction to scrolling and the pornography. And I mean, it just goes on and on. And these things, again, purposeful, inflicted by design. And I've got a couple good reasons why. And this goes all the way to things like vaccines. Vaccines had mercury and aluminum in them. Why? Well, ostensibly because some vaccines, if being transported unrefrigerated to the Congo, would need to be stabilized by something like mercury. Why they decided to include that in the vaccines that were given to newborn children in America is because they hate you and are trying to destroy you and inject poison into your veins before you even open your eyes to the sunlight. So this is all kind of obvious, and
I remember reading an article back in the day, I think it was from National Geographic, talking about how mercury in the diet of birds was shown to massively decrease testosterone. So what actually happens when your testosterone decreases? What actually happens when the atrazine in the water causes your hormones to misfire and you're no longer creating the hormones that would make you naturally healthy and strong like testosterone? You become a weak idiot. And that's what they want. So that's why they're doing it. And so it's not just that, oh, you know what it was? It was actually a headline that said mercury turns birds gay. Mercury in the diet of water birds makes the water birds start acting homosexual, just like frogs. And because it's lowering the testosterone. And in reality, lowering testosterone is like silencing, is like breaking off an antenna that human beings have. We have like extra sensual, what would the word be? You know, beyond your physical senses, extra sensory perception of the world around us. And that's because our hormones are firing sort of beyond the level of our cognition, which is why you go with your gut. So you could like line up a couple of articles that's like, there's mercury in the vaccines. Mercury makes testosterone lower and causes homosexual activity in the brain. And when you do that, you are less likely to go with your gut. You're less likely to trust your instincts, which is really a different way of saying you have been cut off from a stream of information that previously had been calculated and interpreted below the level of your consciousness. And the conclusion would be fed to your conscious brain. You wouldn't really know where it came from, but where it's coming from is that Wi-Fi connection to God that you have when you are healthy and strong and, you know, mentally competent. But they can silence that. They can cut that off. They can put the tinfoil hat on your head to cut you off from the Wi-Fi signal by lowering your testosterone, and the outcome is devastating. Testosterone eliminates strategic pro-social behavior through impacting choice consistency in healthy males. That's the title of one new study. Testosterone studies are insane because they're all like, yeah, it makes you more fair, and yeah, it reduces NPC hive mind behavior. And suddenly you understand why things like bug meat get promoted. Please read the abstract of this study. This is from Templar Pilled on X. Men who received testosterone boosters did not care about being watched by two women when making decisions. Men who did not receive extra testosterone adjusted their behavior. Do you understand what it's saying? So exogenous testosterone fully eliminated strategic, i.e. feigned pro-social and thus pro-sociality and thus decreased submission to audience expectations. In other words, without testosterone, you really can't think for yourself. Define this however you want. Like, interpret this however you want. The fact is, people with low testosterone, they know two women are watching them. They're going to take that into account, and they're going to make the wrong choice on purpose. They know it's wrong, but they make it on purpose because they want to please the crowd. Pro-social, that is feigned sociality. So if someone were to come up to you and say, you know, whatever it is, right? Whatever the popular, you know, are you in favor of ICE deportations? Low testosterone, even if you're like thinking in your head, like, yeah, we need to, yeah, of course we need deportations. Like, these people are driving up the price of everything. They shouldn't be here. They're brought in illegally. Of course they should be put out. You know that's the right answer, but in order to be pro-social, in order to get along with everybody, you might say, well, I think it's kind of a difficult topic. I mean, I understand why we might need to, but, you know, I think the way they're doing it is wrong, right? Just please leave me alone. Please just accept me. Just please don't hate me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I understand how things work. The high testosterone guy goes, hell yeah, we need deportations. They're not happening fast enough. Why are you looking at me like that, lady? I'm right. Don't make that face. You don't want to be friends with me? Good. You're weak. Get out of here. So testosterone makes you capable of thinking for yourself. That's how it works. Testosterone makes you tune in to the world around you, trust your gut, understand the world at an extrasensory level. And it also makes you able to enunciate that and say that without the fear of, you know, social hatred, which is why women are a lot more likely to go along to get along, are a lot more likely to accept the herd mentality because it's safer, because they don't have that testosterone, that chemical balance that frees them from the tyranny of the herd. Most on average, by the way, not all women, obviously. Testosterone eliminates strategic pro-social thinking. Men given testosterone also punished unfair players more severely and rewarded honest players with more generosity. So a lot of times people think testosterone being high is going to make you more aggressive, may even make you like unfair. The exact opposite is the case. People with higher testosterone were more fair in their dealings, which sort of goes back to the study that we talked about a little while ago, where men and women were watching a game being played and they saw somebody cheat, and the men would get mad and like be against that person, want them to lose. But the women, for some reason, would be okay with it and like wouldn't punish the cheater for some reason. It's very weird, but this is chemical reality. This is the filter through which you interpret reality that you don't even notice. As we talked about over and over again, right? You can see the same joke on TV. One time you're watching it with friends and everybody's laughing and it's the funniest thing you've ever heard and your tears are rolling down your face because of how hilarious it is. You can watch the exact same program, but with a different chemical balance at the time, a different, you know, different hormones firing at the time, and you don't even crack a smile. You're like, yeah, oh yeah, I remember how it's funny. But it's like, it's, so it depends. It depends not on the thing you're interpreting. That remains the same. It's how you interpret it is dependent on what hormones are firing at what particular time. So you can have the same interpretation. So if you're high in testosterone, you're going to be punishing the evildoers more and rewarding the honest people more. So just remember that. Remember that when you talk about, like when we talk about poison in the water, these horrifying factory farms creating these, you know, antibiotic-ridden, I don't even know what you'd call them. I guess they're pigs, but are they? But are they really these, you know, it's like when I used to work at a pizza place and our salad bar didn't have cheese, but it did have cheese-like substance. That's what it said on the package. Cheese-like substance. What does that mean exactly? That's kind of, they're kind of like pig-like creatures being raised in these factory farms. When we talk about all of this, it might sound like a conspiracy to say they're doing it on purpose to make you weak and stupid, but the outcome is always that you become more weak and more stupid. The only question is, why would they want that? Why would they even want that? And again, as I've explained before, and I tried to explain this in my last Off Limits News episode where I was talking about just like overall conspiracies. Well, I've got the reason. I can tell you the reason right now. I can show you the reason right now why everything so seemingly and deliberately getting worse and everybody's getting weaker and stupider, because this is sort of the outcome that they want. It's this paragraph I'm about to read. This was posted by Spencer Hakaminian. In the weeks after the June 24th primary election for mayor, I was determined to meet with voters in conservative neighborhoods where Assemblyman Zoran Mamdani, a Democrat socialist, had performed surprisingly well. In a Howard Beach precinct where Mamdani won, I met a couple who, despite being conservative, voted for Mamdani because they bizarrely thought he had run, quote, to the right of former Governor Andrew Cuomo, and also believed he was an Italian-American because his name ended in I and he was from Astoria. When I dug further into why they thought he was running to the right of Cuomo, they noted it was because he discussed prices and cost of living, as Donald Trump had in 2024. They both voted for Trump. They had a hard time believing Mamdani was a socialist because they believe socialists, quote, support making everything more expensive. Okay, you know how we, you know how I said we need the bell for Jewish privilege? I think we need a sound effect of a mooing cow for when a goyim has been detected. Goyim detected here. That's all I can really say. It's just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Really? Really? Like, that's all I got for this. Is just looking into the eyes of the boomers that voted for Zoran Mamdani because they thought he was to the right of Andrew Cuomo. And it's just like, really? 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 And of course, it's almost ironic that they're like, yeah, he's talked about prices, and that's what Trump talked about. Well, yeah, 2 years ago, maybe. Yeah, 2 years ago, maybe Trump cared about the prices. He genuinely doesn't anymore. Or the idea that socialists want higher prices. Socialists don't want what? What? Socialists don't want higher prices. Socialists are dumb, and higher prices always come about as a result of their incompetence. But this is what I mean. It's just like if you have a population that just doesn't know its ass from its elbow, that just can't be bothered to read a four-sentence paragraph about the person they're casting a vote to be mayor of the greatest city on earth. How do you think we got here? How do you think? How did America become so degraded and retarded? That's really what I want to know. Because, by the way, conservative neighborhoods in New York, that's like the richest, most prosperous neighborhood. So it's like we've got just this class of people that are well-to-do, that should be tuned in, that should be aware, that should actually be the like engine that's keeping America going and that keeps American politics on track. Like these should be people that are aware of what's going on in their neighborhood, aware of what's going on in their city, and acting in a way that's moving their own ideology forward. They're so out to lunch. They're so lost and unmoored and directionless. They have no idea who they're voting for. They have no idea what any political party even means, what a political, you know, impetus is. I mean, the idea that you would think that socialists want higher prices, I don't even know how to wrap my mind around that. Because who would ever want – you think people are voting for socialists because they're like, hell yeah, I want to pay more for food? Which is, what are you talking about? And the fact that they vote for a socialist because he says the same things that Trump said, only Trump abandoned that cause despite the fact that it brought him the largest coalition in American election history and he won with the most votes anybody's ever had. He abandoned that and now the socialists are scooping it up and even conservatives are going along with it. It really is sort of a microcosm of the utter retardation of the American people, the utter incompetence that even, you know, the most well-off in our country seem to evince, and the total disconnect from reality that most of Americans are swirling around in. Like, what are you guys thinking about all day? What are you doing? What are you – like, do you not notice things? This is what I want to ask, because I want to go to clip 42 here. And we won't be able to watch the whole thing, but we'll get a beginning of it. And you'll see – I mean, this is exactly what I mean. This is a woman who's lived in Austin her whole life, and she's just documenting the collapse. And it's just like, do you not notice? I really want to ask, like, when you're driving down the road and there's a giant homeless camp that wasn't there before, do you notice that? Are you aware that that's there now? Are you aware that it wasn't there before? Are you aware that something had to happen for a park to change into a hobo camp? Do you understand that's not a good thing? Like, what's going on in their minds? I don't understand. Let's go to clip 42 here.
This is Texas. This is not Minnesota. And it's not California. And it's time for Austin to turn red. I'm coming from the perspective as someone who used to be a Democrat and then became a Republican during the last election. But I was also born and raised here in Austin, Texas. So I got some skin in this game. And I'm not just gonna tell you it needs to turn red. I'm gonna show you why it is so desperately needed. Come with me.
Okay, so here she goes into a montage just showing the city streets. Like, do you need to see this on TikTok? You live here. Your people live here. We can keep the audio up here because it's mostly just sad music because look at what they've done to our city. Look at what they've done to our parks and our walkways. Look at what they've done to, you know, our once thriving, beautiful city. You know, I used to tell people, I used to live in Houston, I'd say, wait, don't come visit me in Houston. Wait till I live in Austin, then come visit me because, you know, Austin's a great place. You'd love it so much. Now I'm like ashamed to bring people here. I'm ashamed of what our city's become. Does nobody notice this? Do you not notice that the more Democrat your city becomes, the more it just is exploding in human detritus and literal detritus, just trash and drugs and crime and misery? And just hopelessness. Are you not able to draw these conclusions yourselves?
I refuse to sit back and watch Austin turn into Los Angeles.
If you look at this video,
everywhere
it's
turning into Los Angeles. Sorry, we can take it down now. This is what I just don't understand. This is why we're losing. It all goes down to the incompetence and the blindness of the American people that are all looking at their phones, checking sports scores instead of looking at the world around them.
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. Your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gave back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
that. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hey, what's up, America? Donald Trump says we need to win the midterm elections, otherwise Democrats will impeach him. Now, obviously, I've been saying this for month after month after month, but it's a little too late for the Trump administration to start thinking about victory in the midterm elections when basically there's no way in holy the Republicans are going to win the midterm elections. Everyone in America with a brain is well aware of what's on the horizon, which is a 5-8 point Democrat victory in November over the Republicans as an average. To this point, there can be no debate. And so unless you get the cost of food, gasoline, cars, houses, and rent down by 50% in the next 3 months, you're basically, I don't know what to tell you. I don't necessarily want the Democrats to win. I don't want to see a 2.5 year lame duck president. But I've been warning about this for month after month. Now Donald Trump says we have to do something, otherwise we're going to lose the midterm elections and I'm going to be impeached. No, really? So are we done feeding the billionaires endless money 1.5 years in? Have they had their fill of profit yet? Can the American people have any gain finally? You know, the we all voted for. You see, that's why the Democrats are in the lead. It's not because anybody likes Democrats. Democrats are failures. Nobody likes most of their policies. A couple here and there. But it's all just anti-Trump at this point. But people are going to vote against Republicans because you didn't make their lives better. We saw you giving endless everything to the billionaires. And I mean everything. Everything a billion-dollar corporation wanted, you gave to them. We had a full 1.5 years to help the American people. You got in 2 months of doing that, and then you started blowing cash at the billionaires. I mean, you literally sold your soul to billion-dollar companies. Now we have high prices, wages are barely going up, and you can't sue pesticide companies when you get cancer from their products. Oh, wow, what a victory. We have a schism in the Republican Party, and the socialists are starting to take over. Yeah, that made America great. Where's my stimulus check? Oh, how about the tariff thing where the American people across the board paid higher prices for everything they purchased for a full 1.5 years, only for the Supreme Court to tell us to ourselves, and then those same corporations that took extra money from you? They get paid for the opportunity to f*** you financially. So these corporations raised prices 20 to 30% on top of the price gouging, and then they have the nerve to take the money back. So they f*** you coming and going. They literally did one of these up your ass financially. But we should go out in the midterms and vote for some more of that. Man, f*** that. Now, I don't want to vote for Democrats, and I'm not going to vote for Democrats. I would rather sit here and watch anything on television than go through this dumbass bullshit voting process that means pretty much nothing. Frankly speaking, you told America it was going to be better for everybody, and then you did nothing but make it better for giant billion-dollar corporation and the very super wealthy. And America noticed that. People aren't as stupid as you think. Americans saw that and said, huh, I'm kind of pissed off at the value of the dollar dropping to near nothing, me not getting much more in my paycheck, and billionaires making out like bandits. It gets a little old when it's that every single day, nonstop. But your only alternative is to vote for Democrats who will basically make it a social justice hate white people hour. Isn't there anybody out there that's not either a thief, a corrupt pile of shit, or a deranged lunatic we can vote for? Somebody? Anybody? Basically what I'm saying is there's almost no way the Republicans are going to win, and the Democrats are probably going to impeach Donald Trump. There's not much you can do about it.
He's another dreamer. He's another dreamer just like me. He's on TikTok at SupAmerica2, and you can follow that man on X, SupAmerica, at HelloAmericaSup on X. And he's exactly right. And this really is the frustration. This really is why you feel crazy talking about this stuff, is like, you're not crazy. It is obvious. Right, the question that he asked in there, is it possible? Is it possible? I mean, this is the dream. This is the This is the impossible goal, the wish that I have. Can we find somebody that's not a deranged psychopath to take the reins? Is it possible? Is such a thing even something we can do? Can we find somebody like that guy, or like me, or like the dude that works on your car? Because literally everybody knows that what's happening is deranged and idiotic and stupid and corrupt. Everybody gets it. Even the stupid voters that we were talking about earlier, voting for Mom Donnie, they at least understand that prices are high, right? Like, they at least get that. So it's like if normal people with average IQs can very easily and without much thought just identify immediately what's going on, see exactly what's wrong and how it needs to be fixed, and yet we're supposed to believe everybody in the ruling class is stupider than that, it doesn't understand this, doesn't know this is happening. This is like a flashback to COVID. Are you telling me the entire medical apparatus was dumber than us? We, like, couldn't figure this out? No, it's on purpose. It's by design. That this is the thing, is that, like, everything that guy said is absolutely true. The thing that's missing from it is that it's all obviously on purpose. And I'll try to explain how, but this is just the chart that I sort of confirms everything we just heard. Because as of now, the top 1% of U.S. earners now have more wealth than the entire middle class. So the top 1% of wealth holders now have a greater share of the overall wealth than the entire middle class. And you can see that this looting, right, because this wealth became this wealth. And you can see that since, you know, 1990 or so, it has been a fairly consistent swap of these. As the share of the top 1% goes up, the share of the middle class goes down, because wealth is being transferred from one to the other. And it's on purpose and by design. So, and no, there's no hiccups, right? Like, you get a little bump, little bit of a bump there between, you know, 95 and 2000. But as soon as the war on terror started, that sharply dropped. I wonder if those things are related. Donald Trump is confirmed ICE enforcement proceedings being taken against Ilhan Omar. You know, when I read this headline, the only conclusion I can say is that, like, it's never going to happen. I just don't believe this. Sorry. I don't think so. No. Because when things happen, like, anything you hear about happening before it happens is never going to happen. Things they want to happen just sort of occur. Right? In the run-up to, you know, them passing Section 219 that merged Israel and American militaries. Like, that's a big deal. That's a big thing. You had a lot of moving parts to get that done. You didn't hear about it until they're already voting on it, right? That's how, when things actually happen, the headline would read, Ilhan Omar has been deported. If this was ever actually going to happen, we would not hear about it until she was being deported. Because they're talking about it, it's never going to happen. And I will eat my hat if it ever does. If Ilhan Omar gets deported by Donald Trump, I'll shave my head. I mean, what should I do? I'll go blonde. I will go full on Owen Schroyer blonde if he deports Ilhan Omar. Never going to happen. And I know it's never going to happen because they're talking about it happening, and it hasn't. So it's never going to happen. Pretty much as simple as that. And obviously there's some bit of nuance when it comes to the average Democrat voter, the average normie voter out there. While Trump could be making substantial gains electorally by doing literally anything for the American people, it's not quite as cut and dry as, say, things like Antifa and the domestic terrorists that have plagued us for the last 10 years, including the Tesla dealerships burning and the ICE facilities fighting and the murders during the Black Lives Matter riots. And I mean, it goes on and on. We're aware of all of this. And Donald Trump's second administration has seen multiple chances to do very powerful things against these forces. And every time, not only have they not done anything to actually stop the rise of, like, actual violent terrorism in this country committed by the left, but they know enough to pretend like they are, which is maybe the most insulting thing on top of all of it. If they never mentioned Antifa, we could assume that they were ignorant or just didn't care. The fact is they know that you care about it. They know that you care about it enough that they want to try to pretend to make it a central pillar of their government policy, and then they never actually do it because they don't actually care. But they do know how much you want it. They do know how good it would be. They do know which methods they could use to put a dent in some of these operations. But they don't do it. Okay, so that's almost worse in my reading. And we can compare and contrast a little bit here. This is posted by Carlin Boroshenko at Dr. Carlin B. Clip number 43 here. This is what Russia does to Antifa. Based Russia raided an Antifa event and arrested a bunch of them. This is what's required to crack down on Antifa in your country. We're not doing this, and I'll show you a video after this to illustrate that. Just a little compare and contrast. A country and a nation that seems serious about not surrendering itself to the radical leftist elements that are screeching endlessly about literally wanting to destroy your nation versus the American government, which clearly has absolutely no interest in even attempting to mitigate the rise of left-wing violence. So first, here's Russia. Here's how they treat Antifa in Russia. Russian police raided a punk and Antifa festival held in a forest near St. Petersburg. Police labeled the people far left and accused them of supporting Ukraine and calling for the removal of Putin's regime. However, there were no political symbols at the festival. Around 100 people were detained, and police used violence against some of them. Repression at cultural events and spaces is common in Russia. Police often act together with the far-right organization Ruskaya Obshchina. Like, look, obviously we have more freedom of speech in this country and have to be a little bit more blatant. The good news is they are more blatant. And this is the thing. It's like, okay, if you see that video and it's like, oh, this is so unfair. Like, whoa, what were they doing? But then you talk to the Antifa people and it's like, well, what are you gathering here for? And they're like, oh, we're here to overthrow the government and to usher in communism. We're here as a violent insurrectionary revolutionary force to overthrow the current order. It's like, okay, get them, boys. You know, it's just like you're supposed to be able to get away with that. Like we're supposed to believe that freedom of speech in this country includes the freedom to just like be organizing a communist revolution to overthrow our systems because you despise the people you live around and want to eradicate their freedoms. Like, we don't have to stand for this. We really don't. The problem is, in America, if this ever actually happened, every one of those people that was like even detained for a moment, they'd all be getting $20 million settlements from the government because they would claim it was a violation of, even if they're literally there being like, we are terrorists, we are here to overthrow the country, which is literally what they say. I've got videos. I mean, it's not subtle. How gratified would you be to find out, to see video just like that? Because again, in Russia, they got to be careful, right? I don't think there's probably a reason they were doing it out in the middle of the woods, you know? There's probably a reason they didn't have any political symbols, because they were probably told not to bring any, because they probably were doing something subversive and wanted to the cover of not having anything explicit there. But they hold, in America, they hold book fairs where they're selling books that are like, here's our plan to overthrow the American government. Sign up to be a gun-toting revolutionary here. And so you can just imagine if just one of these Antifa groups just got arrested. And you know what? Well, I mean, we need comprehensive reform because we need a situation in which we actually can arrest open, subversive, anti-American elements in America that are planning strikes to overthrow our country and institute socialism. Like, there's no reason why we need to allow this to continue. And we need to abandon some of the fake like, you ever heard of the Whiskey Rebellion? You know, George Washington himself led an army to crush an uprising in our country's early years. So the idea that, like, the American Constitution provides for just, like, hostile, subversive elements to militarily organize in our country. What? No. What? Why would any country ever? Why do we allow this? Maybe we don't need to go full Russia, but we could stand to get significantly closer to that. Significantly. And again, there are laws on the books. The Communist Control Act, like, ruthless enforcement of law is the only thing necessary in this country. But I just want you to compare that video you just saw of Antifa, you know, punk anti-government people just, like, lying on the ground with their dreadlocks, hands behind their head, being marched off. It's like, you could only imagine. You could only imagine ever seeing something like that here and how brilliant it would be. In our case, we're lucky if, like, Antifa actively stages a military ambush and kills an ICE agent, then maybe we can round up the people directly involved. But, like, what if we rounded up everybody they talk to? Just to question them for a little bit. And what if we arrested the Antifa gathering to overthrow the government and to plan these operations? What if the police kicked in the door and arrested everybody and sent them all to jail? And what if they all went to jail and they all had trials and they were all convicted? And then maybe they appealed and 5 years later they were let out. I think that'd be worth it. I think that'd be good. I think that'd be 5 years without these people working behind the scenes to destroy everything that our ancestors left us. I think we should do that, actually. Instead, do you know how it goes in America? Let's go to clip 44 here. This is in Los Angeles, California, when Ian Richard was hosting a free speech anti-Islam rally in a church, and he was physically attacked by left-wing extremists who assaulted the church and, like, bodily dragged him off. Let's watch clip 44.
Get out! Get out of here! Eject him!
Being literally picked up and hauled off. So it's like, and you remember, you know, during some of the ICE riots when those terrorists led by Don Lemon stormed into the church and was, like, keeping parents from their children and they didn't even get charged? There he's being sprayed with blue paint. Protester covered Richard and his partner in blue paint. At this point, the police had been called and were on their way. They're literally just being assaulted by Antifa. It's just, like, literally physically assaulting him. Which, you know, if that dude fought back, you think he'd be charged? So, you know. So let's can we cut back to 43? Sorry, let's look at our options here. So one option is you allow the Christian protesters to be savagely beaten, attacked, assaulted, and their event disrupted by the radical leftist terrorists that openly despise your country and yet revel in the protection they receive from our government. Versus in Russia, the punks and the screwballs get put face down, hands behind their back, and arrested. I know which one I would prefer. I know which one is actually civilized, is actually makes sense in the America that was built and passed to us. I know which one I prefer. I know which one I would feel safer in, which country I would feel safer in. If these are our choices, I'm going with the one that prioritizes America and Christianity and genuine free speech rather, because, you know, like, this is the number one threat to free speech. If the police stormed in and broke up an Antifa meeting, they'd cry free speech. This is the attack on free speech. This is the actual genuine threat to free speech that actually successfully stops people from organizing, stops people from advocating, stops people from speaking out. So it stops their message from getting anywhere. So it stops the political movement that may be inspired by that message. It's literal political terrorism done out in the open in California, broad daylight. And the people don't even get arrested. And the people that were attacked, if they were to defend themselves, would probably be in jail for years. So I know which one I prefer. I know which country I would rather live in. And when you see the way Russia deals with their dissidents, it just becomes overwhelmingly obvious how utterly simple it would be to solve all of our problems here in America. We wouldn't have to deal with any of this. Ruthless enforcement of existing law. It's all that's necessary. We'll cover this a little bit more tomorrow, but I thought this was a very interesting breakdown from Z Squirrel at ZEI underscore squirrel on X. This is his prediction for what happens politically in the next presidential election, pretty much. What will happen on both the Republican and Democrat side heading into 2028 is actually very easy to predict. On the Republican side, Tucker Carlson, Joe Kent, MGT, and Massey will do a fake populist anti-war, anti-Israel LARP by either running in the primaries or a third party, and then coalesce around J.D. Vance and endorse him like like RFK Jr. did with Trump. They will thereby hand over their fake epic-based anti-war, anti-Israel status to Vance to launder him. On the Democrat side, AOCIA will likely do a presidential run and pretend to be the epic-based populist, and then inevitably lose to Mayo Pete or Newsom, or more likely at this point, it seems, Ossoff, who's the perfect candidate. Hassan approved already, a Zionist Jewish supremacist who's made a few J Street-like noises, and that was already enough to get him the Hassan pass. And then AOC, CIA, will happily endorse him and either get a VP spot or a cabinet position, and the pseudo-radical statues will be handed over to launder him. And whoever wins, as ever, Israel wins, Zionism wins, Jewish supremacy wins, and both Republican and Democrats and their shills will lie that this continuation of their hegemony will actually represent a radical, epic break with it. So I think it's not a bad prescription there. I think he's more right than he is wrong. The question is, how do we avoid that fate? Or rather, how do we put our trust in somebody like Tucker Carlson and Thomas Massey without that being the outcome, that all that energy and all that effort is squandered just like happened in 2024? Is it even possible at this point to give confidence to anybody in the electoral right that voting for anybody will be any different than what we just experienced with Trump? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that is going to work. I think maybe Trump has ruined everything forever. I think that might actually be what's happening here. I think this second Trump administration, which we're not even halfway through yet, I think it's ruined everything forever. Actually, I think the Democrats are going to win the midterms. I think that's going to stop Trump from even potentially doing anything remotely good. And I think by the time 2028 rolls around, the outrage and fury and betrayal felt by the right wing will not be evaporated. The young people looking for an alternative will reject J.D. Vance. They obviously will reject Marco Rubio. And even the people that at this point are the stalwart America First anti-MAGA people, like Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker, they aren't hardcore enough to convince people that they're actually any different than what we got before. So we'll probably end up with a socialist president. And of course, the labor unions are planning a full-on communist revolution in 2028 that the Trump administration seems utterly blind to and unwilling to do literally anything to prevent. So I think we've been sold out. I think we've been totally sold out. Maybe that 18-month blackout would be like the best possible option from here on out. We can do a hard reset, see if we can't do things right next time.
New grape flavor, bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now. The all-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. We'll be right back. globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Hello, neighbor. It's such a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Today I want to talk about the goblins who are watching you through your smart TV, your phone, and even your refrigerator. They're not very nice neighbors. In fact, they're trying to put chemicals in the water, things like fluoride, that can quietly change the way we think and feel. Lucky for us, we have the dual carbon platinum gravity-fed water filter system. It quietly takes out all those nasty little things the goblins put in the water, so your home can feel a little safer and a little cleaner. We have all these wonderful supplements. My personal favorite is the Ultimate Power Patriot Punch. One scoop in the morning, and by lunchtime I've mowed everybody's lawn, reorganized the garage, and declared independence from the Homeowners Association. Please visit thealexjonesstore.com today.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.